apologize to Robbie in advance because we've been plodding through, you know, this, you know, the long way round. Okay, well, we'll try to throw in a few extra things. The schedule is, I think, when do we come back? On like the beginning of a week?
Probably Thursday.
Oh, Thursday?
Thursday.
Okay, so whatever it is, the first, not if it's Thursday, we're not going to have that Thursday. But I think the Thursday after that, I just have to remind Rav Schachter, but I think he is on board for that one. Not the if it's a Thursday, but the one after that, in other words. So that would be
Tuesday is travel day on Wednesday, and Thursday is, I think, exhibition.
Yeah?
Thursday is
a what's the date on that? Anybody know?
It's the first Thursday we're back.
What's it called? October?
October 4.
Okay, so I guess October 11th. We'll assume, I'll try to remind Rav Schachter, but I think that's what we set. And then let's assume also, but I just have to you know, reconfirm that I guess the 18th will be Rav Willick. Okay? And then if everybody's ready, we can start, or I can do another one. I'm happy to do you know, second one if it helps everybody get on their feet. And again, we want to move, you know, at a decent pace, so we can get in a lot of the okay, so let's begin. So I did actually begin last week a little bit by posing the question, and that is a typical question to ask in the beginning of a limud, and that is, you know, is there an isur? What is the isur? What is the relationship between the isur and the other aspects of the chiyuv? In this case, tashlumin. What I was trying to emphasize last time was that in this particular case, the questions are a little bit more acute in both directions, in two opposite directions. Number one, because of the company that Mazik keeps in terms of Sefer Nezikin, the lists of Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia, if you will, and things of that sort, but even more particularly, you know, the company that it keeps in the Rambam. Namely, we do have an explicit isur of Gneva and Gezela and Chovel and Oshek and Rotseach, you know, etc. So the omission of the Torah, you know, having such an explicit isur that no one could deny it, or that we shouldn't really be asking, you know, this first question, is there an isur? But simply asking, you know, what is the nature of the isur? What role does it play? You know, other kinds of more specialized questions. The very fact that we find ourselves in a position where we can even pose or consider the possibility that there will not be an Isur is due to two things I mentioned last time. Number one is the contrast with the natural club members of Mazik, which is very, very sharp. As I say, there's it's not just the, you know, if that were just a coincidence of Psukim, you know, namely, that when you look in Parshas Mishpatim, you don't find something so explicit, and in, you know, Kedoshim and Vayikra and other places, you know, you do find Geneva and Gezela and Oshik and these things. It would be one thing, but it's reinforced by the logic of it, and that is that we understand that that the area of Mazik is something which, you know, conceivably might not have an Isur, might not need an Isur, because it is so logical, it is so much a quid pro quo, much more so than Geneva and Gezela and Chabalah, which are much more complicated. The Tzad Ha'iser Shebahem is more obvious, and also the role that it plays in their Tashlumin is much more obvious, and that can be demonstrated in each of their cases. And there's certainly also a hierarchy. You know, Rotseach, Chovel, then, you know, Geneva, let's say, Gezela, Oshek, if we were trying to talk about what is more Momon-oriented or what is more, where the Tzura or the Maisavera, and therefore the likelihood that the Isur is playing a more central part. But at the end of the day, we can understand that in all those cases, the fact that there are explicit Isurim is consistent with there being an element of Aveira, Maisa Aveira, certainly, that is part of it. And all of that is not as obvious at all When it comes to mazik, which is much more basic and elemental, much more quid pro quo. There is no obvious tzura. There are all sorts of ways, you know, to do hezek. It's very result-oriented. Oshik is somewhat as well, but Oshik has certain rules, especially if you think that Skar Sakhir, for example, is a special ichos. We talked about this a couple of years ago a little bit when we learned Meruba, for those who were here. But mazik is very oriented towards the result. Not so much the dinim of Niske Mamun we'll get to. We'll get that in a second. So there's good reason, in addition to the reality in the psukim, to think that there might be a different no role, a different role, a more minor role. The question is more intriguing for this reason when it comes to mazik. On the other hand, as I did mention the other day, there's another way to look at all of this. You know, the first way to look at it is very much informed by what we instinctively associate, reflexively almost associate, with mazik, and that is odama mazik. You know, tavar v'shasya, without the previous gazela. You know, taking a hammer and destroying an object. It seems clear to us that, you know, you have to pay, and, you know, that the payment that you make is due to the damage that you did, you know, and that's pretty straightforward. However, maybe the answer here is, or at least it complicates the problem in the other direction, is that there are, when we take a step back and we learn all of the Dinei Nezikin, we find that there are aspects of mazik that are not obvious and quid pro quo at all. They're really very questionable whether there should be a chiyuv. And of course, there are more specific aspects in particular which need to be understood. By that I mean the whole area of Niske Mamon, right, in theory, could be dismissed as kind of a more distant grumma. Your animal did it, right, or some other force. You know, it's lack of shmira, it's, you know, you're a contributing factor, could have prevented it, doesn't mean, you know, that you are sufficiently, you know, a contributing factor, or maybe contributing factor is not enough because it gets diluted by the others, or by the fact that it isn't you fully and independently. And therefore, maybe based on the standards that are reasonable, again, not to be honored at a, you know, a yeshiva dinner, but in terms of, you know, being held, you know, accountable in a court of law, maybe your actions, you know, do not justify tashlumin. And as I say, you could say this certainly by Niske Mamon. Within Niske Mamon, you also want to be mechalek between, you know, Niske Mamons that are more mechudash and less mechudash. Bor and Eish obviously stand out. Even in the Mishnah already, right, you have the Bor and Eish, you know, references in the, you know, Lo Hare, but the ones that are spelled out as being, you know, very mechudash are Bor and Eish. Torah treats them differently. It's interesting, the Rambam Mor Nevuchim focuses on Bor. Bor and Eish are either the most, the poster boys, if you will, for Niske Mamon in some respects, or the most outlying and most mechudash. Okay, and the reason that they are the most outlying in mechudash is obvious, right? Eish, because of Koach HaKharmurabo and not being a real Cheftza, Bor, because there's no Maisa Hezek. That also might be the reason, you know, why they're the most obvious. And again, Rav Mor Nevuchim actually emphasizes Bor and Eish, particularly as it might be consistent with other things that he says about Niske Mamon, which maybe we'll get back to later in the year. The reason that they might be more typical is, number one, because there's an acknowledgement, at least, that we're not dealing with, you know, a typical Mechayev of Maisa Hezek, because neither of them qualify, you know, in that way. But if you're talking about Yitzira Samazik, you know, kind of something that is closer to Losasim Damim, you know, Beveisacha, you know, creating a Mazik, if that's the Mechayim of Bor, which there's a lot of evidence that it is, maybe, you know, what some animal does is not your responsibility, but you're creating a Mazik is something which is mechayev you. And some people think that the Iver has a special connection to Bor for that reason. Again, Losasim Damin B'nei Secha. Eish, especially if you say, you know, that's not Mishum Mamon, but it's Mishum Chitza, so it is maybe, you know, an extension of your Maisa Hezek, you know, Bredavka, because the intermediary, the Eish part of it, is so Batel, you know, it's Ein B'mamish, you know, and therefore it doesn't really qualify as Nizkei Mamon. So it's either, therefore, less or more. But either way, the point I'm trying to make is that every one of the Ovos Hazikin is a challenge. You have to look at the order. This is not what we're discussing right now, but that's maybe for our next topic. But you have to look at the order of the psukim, the language of the psukim. As I think I indicated last time, there are several factors that, you know, are naturally the focus of understanding the dinim of Nizkei Mamon, right? One is bailus, the other is shmira, v'lo yishmerenu. The third, of course, is trying to assess whether there is maisa hezek, and whether that maisa hezek is mitzuraf to the pailin. Those are the three factors that apply in all of the Nizkei Mamon. A shmira factor, a bailus factor, and you have to assess the hezek factor. And in bor, of course, is also yitziras hamazik. So it's fascinating if you look at the psukim, the order of the psukim, the language of the psukim. Where does the Torah, you know, emphasize what it emphasizes? Like the Chilta already points out that bor ki yichre ish bor is written differently than the other avos hazikin, probably because their Dafkin of Machayev is the Yitzira Samazik. Again, you don't pay for Yitzira Samazik, you know, unless there's payment, you know, on the agenda, maybe, unless it ends up being responsible for Tashume Mamon. But maybe the point is the Machayev is the Yitzira Samazik when that happens. Velo Yishmerenu Ba'alav, you know, has, you know, why aren't you, you know, taking responsibility for the Mazik, you know, that you created. So when does the Torah, you have to just, what I'm saying is the order, the language, and then of course the particular dinim that distinguish each of the Nizkei Mamons need to be assessed in terms of the question, you know, what is the Mechayev between these three or three and a half factors, the Shmira, right, the Bailus, and the Hezek. The Shmira, of course, is an excellent candidate. Shmira, basically, the Chiddush in the Shmira, V'lo Yishmerenu, or whatever it is the fact that it is more, you have to convert a Sheval Tasa into a Chiyuv. Typically, V'lo Yishmerenu, or lack of Shmira, is something that you don't do, and that passivity might be a reason for Patur. If you can get past that, and, you know, we'll discuss, you know, I get throughout the course of the year, how you get past that, then it's a more direct hezek. It's not simply lack of shmira, but maybe the pshia, you know, of lack of shmira is your part of the hezek. And if you didn't gore or smash the person's property, but by not doing shmira, effectively, you cause it. I mean, this is, as is well known, the two deos in Rashi, in the Mishnah on Daf Tesim and Beis. Or the Mishnah says, you know, call, how does it go? Kol shechsharti as nisko, kol shechavti b'shmiroso shecharti as nisko. And Rashi famously has two deos what that means. The first one meaning is manti, where basically, you know, what we're saying is, my lack of shmira is a goreim cause of the hezek. Maybe it's not the sole cause of the hezek. But one way to look at it is, I'm the mazik, not the animal, because by my lack of shmira, right, is my contribution to the hezek itself. It's almost like a poshea kemazik, you know, kind of a formula, which the Rambam uses regarding shomer chinam, which we'll get back to. The other pshat is that shmira is about the ptur, right? Kosha, you know, chavti b'shmirasa v'ksharti is nisko, doesn't mean his manti, that's not the mechayim of the hezek. It means that's why I have to pay. I'm responsible. That can have one of two meanings. It means there would have been a patur Shmira, Betoras Ones, Ptur Ones, if I had done a good job. Doesn't mean the lack of Shmira contributes, but what it means is there's no Ptur Neba. You know, that's one way to explain it. Or that the Shmira is a Mitzaref. The lack of Shmira is a Mitzaref. I'm Chayiv Betoras Baal Hamazik. Not because I'm Mitzuref to the Maisa Hezek, but because, you know, my animal doesn't have a bank account, and I'm its owner. And maybe that alone wouldn't have been sufficient, according to this perspective, but because I'm its owner and I'm also responsible for its shmira, right, that makes me responsible. So if you ask who did the Maisa Hezek, it wasn't me by omission through lack of shmira. It was Bessie the cow. Now, Bessie the cow, you know, what has it got to do with me? The answer that it has to do with me is that I fund Bessie's misadventures. And the reason I do that is because maybe it's enough to say because I'm the owner of Bessie, or maybe you need to say because in some level, you know, Bessie's actions, you know, are my responsibility. That's different than saying that the Maisa is Ki'ilu done by. Anyway, these are the big issues. The question is, when we talk about the 2 days of Rashi and Daftes, and the factor of lo yishmerenu or shmira, and different ways of understanding it, or the emphasis in the psukim, in some cases being on the maisa hezek, others being on the yitzira samazek, and so on. So one perspective is that, you know, there's arbav and zazikin, and they're all, you know, one category. There are some monam mitzvos, for example, who didn't count, you know, the arbav and zazikin separately. Some didn't count them at all, but some counted them, like, you know, as one. And one way to look at it is that it's a difference in details. That would also affect hybrids, you know, but I'm not going to get to that right now. But, you know, the distinctions between the Avos HaZikin from that perspective, there's only one Mechayev, whatever it is, all the Avos HaZikin. There are Chidushim, let's say, in the Arba Avos HaZikin, because the Mechayev, whatever it is, whether it's Chosar Shmira, the being Mitzuref to the Maisa Hezek, being the Bailim of the Mazik, or Yitziras HaMazik, whatever it is, it's more obvious in some cases than in others, or some aspects of it are more obvious in some cases than others. But at the end of the day, what we're saying is all our Avos HaZikin are one and the same. Or no. Really, there are different parshios in the Torah, and especially if you count them separate in Minyan and Mitzvos, then maybe we're dealing with different Mechayvim. In other words, it's not a coincidence. This is obviously something that I'm, you know, very drawn to, that the order of the psukim and the emphasis in the psukim, in some cases of shmir, in some cases of bailus, in some cases of maisa hezek, dictate that the arba avos hazikin are very different than them. In some cases it's chosar shmira, in other cases it's yitziras, of course, more yitziras hamazik. In the case of eish, you know, it's the maisa hezek, my tziruf to the maisa hezek. You know, in the case of a Karen, you know, where Kavanasa Lahazik and so on. So Bessie really is more on her own. It's being Bailam of Bessie and therefore having that responsibility, funding Bessie's misadventures more. So it could be the different psukim, the different orders, the different factors, the different pturim, all reflect that we're dealing with multiple Mechayim. That becomes a particularly interesting, again, the purpose of this Chabura, as the first Chaburas always are, is, you know, food for thought and things to think about. And then later on, you see in the Chaburas later, people say, also, I say, oh, we said that in the first Chabura. Oh, yeah. But that's the point. We want you to, you know, start thinking about some of these things. Shein v'regel, for example, is a great example, right? Some of the Rishonim count Shein v'regel as one in Minyan HaMitzvos. And there's also a question about the order of Shein v'Regel based on the Pesukim that the Rishonim already discussed. And Sefer Mitzvah of Sajigon, he has a whole discussion. You know, maybe you should count it as two. Maybe you should switch, you know, the order. Are Shein and Regel themselves, which are the most obviously similar to each other, are even they maybe two different Mechayvim? You know, and if all Shor is one, you know, and that's even the little questions of, like, Rashi and Tosis discuss, like, you know, the order of the, you know, is the order of the Mishnah the same as the order of the Gemara? I'm sorry, the order of Psukim. And Tosis says, well, you know, it depends if, you know, what we mean by Shor. And can Shore really mean Shane Varego, and yet the Order can be okay because Karen is still part of that world and can become Shane Varego? But that's, it sounds like a very technical question. I think it's a very conceptual question. Okay, so the question of being mechalek between the different niskeimamon, I think, is a big part of the story of that base, the Daf Samach, and of course Mishpatim as well. Yeah.
Can I turn to an earlier point?
Just sure.
Very beginning, just a lot of the Mazik, very point about distinction between Batu Etzicha and Zela, those things on the Mazik, or at least I think is terms, I think the two major things is this idea that the Shumudi and the Pro Pro, and the fact that there's less obvious Tzuber to the Maisa.
And less up there?
Less obvious Tzuber to the Maisa. But by other Mazik, so is Rebbe suggesting that there could be an equal, let's say, spiritual responsibility, and yet not have an issue in the Torah because of this? Or are we saying that those, in the end of the day, all these factors have to also bear? Being not having an issue in the Torah needs to also mean that there's a different level of culpability in terms of phenomenal alcohol.
I mean, if you're asking me if there's no issue, what is the implication of that?
I'm saying,
or if the issue is not a factor in the Tashlumin?
Could these factors be enough to totally, let's say the Hilchos Teshuva perspective on these,
which we'll get to.
We're totally not.
I think it should. I mean, it should bear.
I think not having Isser should always, even with everything we're saying.
If something is totally quid pro quo and there's no Isser whatsoever, it's for sure, I would think, would have impact on Hilchos Teshuva.
I'm asking the opposite, right? Rebbe sort of building on the magic into something more on the border, more kind of home and close.
Right.
Saying, would Rebbe be comfortable with a formulation that even though there's no Isser Torah, it still has the same Hilchos Teshuva culpability?
Well, I think you'd have to say that it partakes of either Isurim Klalian, right? Or maybe even some aspect of some, or something more specific. I would just ask, and I'm going to get to this exactly, this exact point. So let's say for the Rambam, which I think this is true about. So why is it like, you know, so downplayed, you know, in the beginning of the Chosnes, and this came up. But I do think that there has to be, for it to be a din in Uchos Tshuva, I think it either has to partake of Yisurim Klalium, or better even, if something more specific.
Rebbe thinks that you wouldn't have Nisvara, a Mechayim Nisvara won't catapult you to the same place as Yisur.
If the Svara is the application of other Yisurim, Kol Shekein or equal, then maybe it would. But that would be like Yisur Klali.
Meaning the
quid pro quo svara, yes. I don't think would create a Hilchos Teshuva requirement. And if you want to highlight it further, the Rambam, I think it's already Mechudash that the Rambam says that you're Chayav Mazik. One of my points is the Makoros don't say it, really. Rambam said it. We just, you know, we live in a post-Rambam world, Baruch Hashem. So we just all think that it's, you know, it's Muskam Ayidei Kula. But I think it's Chiddush of the Rambam. But I think it's also noteworthy, and I'll get back to it, that the Rambam Perek Aleph Hilchos Teshuva says it about Adam HaMazik, and he doesn't say it about Niskeimamon. And I think that's very Misvara. And I'm going to explain, I mean, there are no secrets here, so I mentioned it also last time, that, you know, the Rambam does deal with Adam HaMazik in Hilchos Chovel.
Right.
And that's against the Mishnayos, and, you know, it's not called for necessarily by the Psukim either, but I think it comes from deep, deep conviction. I think it informs everything that the Rambam says in these matters, which I'll get to, including Perek Aleph Hilchos Teshuva Halach Aleph. I mean, I can't prove that, but I think the patterns are unmistakable. So, yeah. So I will get that.
And to have the Rambam Hilchos Teshuva, there has to have been, you know,
in the case of the Rambam, it's fine, because he himself ends up formulating an Isser, even for Niskeimamon, and certainly for Adam HaMazik, in a couple places. But so, on the one hand, it's muted relative to Chovel, but it's part of the worldview of Chovel, and it's Lashitasa. He does think it's Asar. He does say it. But in this case, Mamon has an Isser, doesn't. I think because it's a different kind of Isser. I think in this case, Mamon's, the role of Isser in this case, Mamon is a little bit different than Adam HaMazik, because I'll try to explain. Okay. Anyways, these are some things to think about in terms of this case, Mamon, but at the end of the day, I only brought up this case, Mamon right now, to make the point that Well, this quid pro quo for onomazic, you know, in a classical way, it's not necessarily true in onomazic for, you know, garmi or for anybody who holds that grama is kayin. And it's even less obvious in the case of iskei mamon, because again, we have to struggle with all these factors, and we need to figure out all these factors of bailus, of yitziras amazik, of tziruf to the maisa hezek, of bailus, you know, mamon, etc. Whether it's collectively as one, or you know, with compensations and so on, or as different mechayvim, or as three mechayvim, however you want to, you know, put the number at in the end of the day. The point is that there, what it could have said, pata legamri. And again, when Rashi, we'll speak more about it, says that the, when the Gemara says, told the same kiyotzim and lav kiyotzim to him, you know, and the way Rashi understands it, based on the base, that the question is, are you chayiv tashlum, or are you pator, right? I don't think he would have said that by Odom Amazik, frankly. But I think it is a reasonable comment by Niskei Mamon. Again, Rambam and Rif and Ezra Melville notes, they don't say that even by Niskei Mamon at this point. I mean, once you know that there's Niskei Mamon in the Arba Avos and Zikin, it's still a big chiddush to say that maybe the toldos, which partake in the characteristics, are pata legamri. But you could say it if you think that Niskei Mamon is still mechudash. The chiddush of the Torah isn't that, you know, no, it's... you know, this omission really is a commission of Choser Shmira, or Bailus is enough, or Shmira is enough to create a tziruf, you know, to the Maisa Hezek, or to the Bailus, or to, and so on. But in the end of the day, yeah, you know, Inochanami, and it remains Mechudash. So then Rashi can think of, you know, Inocha Bolachidusho, and we don't apply it, you know, to Toldos. Similarly, the question of the, you know, particulars and peturim, you know, especially, you know, in Tomun, you know, Be'esh, and Kalim Babor, the debate which, you know, revolves around, you know, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim for Shein Beregel, where it's a debate whether it's a Gzeres HaKasuv or a Svara. But the more, you know, there are Gzeres HaKasuvs, even if the Gzeres HaKasuvs end up having to fit in, frankly, which I think we would like them to, with the nature of the Isurim themselves, but of course, in the end of the day, they're still very mechudash. And the idea that, you know, for that you need a makar, and for that you need an Isur, certainly you wouldn't think that the Mechayiv is quid pro quo, but Tamun is pater be'esh, or Kalin is pater be'bor. Right? You might think that about Shein Beregel versus, you know, versus Rabin. So these become very important perspectives. That, so we have basically two opposites. On the one hand, the cases where mazik is obvious, and chiyuv tashlum is obvious, and the cases where it's very mechudash, and we have opposite problem. Where it's obvious, is there any iser, any role to iser, etc. And in the other cases, you know, lahalacha, you know, are they chidushim in the end, or have they expanded the notion of nezek and the chiyuv mazik in such a way that other things flow naturally? Probably you don't say in the chabot, you know, other chiddush. Again, hybrids and things like that. Do you have to, at the end of the day, when you have categories of nezikin, right? Again, this is the way that the Rifin and the Rambam, as the Belleville points out, you know, read the Shaklet Tar, the Gemara, Kiyotzeben, Alav Kiyotzeben. Right? But it's an interesting question. In the end of the day, are there four categories and everything has to fit into those four categories? Or everything, you know, works based on the characteristics, you know, involved. So if you have hybrids, you know, by which I mean, you know, something which shares characteristics, you know, with other between, you know, something that's mixas born, mixas age, or mixas born, mixas shore, mixas age, mixas shore, whatever it is. You know, so in the end of the day, you know, do you also get hybrid consequences? Or do you have to fit everything? You have to decide, oh, it is a hybrid, but its ikar is one of them. Or, right, you have three possibilities, right? Either there's a correspondence, a correlation between the hybrid characteristic and the hybrid, you know, consequences, in which case there's no such thing really as boar and shore and ash. What I mean is no such thing as they are just an amalgam of the ingredients that make them that, right? And therefore, you flip around the ingredients, you flip around, you know, the patur. You have to figure out, still there's a lot to do and to discuss, namely how do these correspondences work between the chiyuvim and the characteristics of the paturim and so on and so forth. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that the Torah is mechadesh arba avos hazikin. You know, there's no such thing as hybrid consequences. And when you have hybrid cases, so your challenge is to figure out the dominant category. You know, because there aren't just the, you know, specific, there aren't categories, you know, that require everything. They're dominant categories. You know, there's a category bore, category age, so whatever, even if it isn't perfect, and even if it's hybrid, right, it's going to end up being one of those. The third possibility is that, you know, the categories, there are two dinim, right? The categories are not, there are these four categories, they're very specific, and you have to qualify for them, you really have to, you know, be a purist, you know, like a Platonian, mazik, I guess, or a Platonian niskei nomo, like a pure form. But absent qualifying in that way, in that very strict way, in the way of looking at it, you know, there's still a broader, you know, concept of niskei nomo, right, which doesn't have all of those, you know, pratim, but is mishutaf to all of them. Just like, you know, Moshe Lamad Dover Domen, since the Gemara does compare it to, you know, Avos and Toldos, you know, of Shabbos. So there are 39 Avos Melacha. There's a huge debate whether or not each one is a separate Shemisa or not, right? And, you know, now many Nafkamina, Hasra and Tzir Flashir and the relationship of Shabbos and Yom. We don't want to get into that right now. That's a massive topic in its own right. But there is, you know, a huge debate. How do you read Kol Melacha? You know, means, you know, fill in the blanks, but it's like there's a separate Yisrael. Rav Avraham and Rambam was asked, you know, by Rav Daniel Ababli, why didn't your father count 39 Yisrael Shabbos, right? Or no, that's not what it is. There's you know, Kol Melacha, and, you know, there are 39 examples of it, or 39 tsuros of it. Or maybe there's something in between those two extremes, right? And there certainly is for many Rishonim, and that is, there are two dinim. There's a din of Isur Malacha on Shabbos, right, which the 39 Avos Malachos are each examples of, but there's one Shem Kolel, you know, of Isur Malacha on Shabbos too. Maybe that's why you get, you know, Shigas Shabbos, you know, having the consequence it has, not just because of the toes. Or the toes alone wouldn't have been enough if there also wasn't a chalos of it, and maybe that's how Yom Tov, you know, gets to exist without chiluk malachos. And at the same time, each prat constitutes a separate individual violation. Then you have to figure out that shikas, you know, malachos. You have to figure out, you know, which dinim depend on what. So too, when it comes to the avos and zikin, you might say that there are four very. It's not that there aren't any categories, everything is driven by the characteristics. There are categories, but it's also not true that everything has to be one of the four categories. Maybe there are categories. And then there's a generic, you know, niske mamo. And there are consequences to that. So that's a different ways of understanding told the same kiyotze and understanding how. You also might be mechalek, since this is food for thought. You know, there doesn't have to be a single answer, you know, to this question. You know, it depends on all hybrids are not the same, right? So it depends hybrid regarding what, and all pturim or consequences of categories are not the same. You know, the gzeres hakasev ones may be different than the svar ones. You know, and if there are several characteristics that define a particular av in the zikin, you know, some are ma'akev and some are the mechayev. So not every hybrid is necessarily said. That would help a lot to be miyashe, stiros, you know, in Rishon. But either way, the world of niske mamon is fraught with these kind of issues and questions, precisely because there is some chiddush in niske mamon. So that is the other side of it. And then, you know, needing a gzeres hakasuv and possibly some sort of an iser becomes more plausible as well. The irony is, and this is part of the challenge, is that the more you remove yourself from the svara, right, and the more you enter the world of Chiddush and Gzeiros HaKasuv, right, the more tenuous in theory the Maisa Veira and the Iser becomes. Right? Because if you are more, if you're too removed from it, and yet you're Chayiv, and it's Kiddush, right, it's much less obvious that you're the equivalent of a Rotzeach or a Gonev or a Goslin or a Chovel or even an Oshik. Right. We'll talk about that relationship in just a minute. What is the relationship between, you know, the svara of Chiyuv Tashlumin and the self-sufficiency of Chiyuv Tashlumin and Iser? There's an irony in all of this, and that's what I meant before, and that is that the closer you are, you know, to a more obvious mazik, who should be Chiyuv Tashlumin self-sufficiently, right, the easier it is to explain what the Iser is, and the more gratuitous or redundant the Iser becomes, right? Because you don't need it. You need an Iser, right, when the quid pro quo is weaker. But the more the quid pro quo is active, the easier it is to see this as connected to you in a way that might be a Maisa Veira. And I think we have those perspectives as well. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. So let's take a step back for a minute and think about the possibility of the role that the Iser plays, now that we've mentioned this. I also should mention, so in terms of possible chilukim, really what I'm suggesting is that there's an inverse, but, you know, an interesting, ironic relationship, you know, between more obvious chiv tashlumin and iser. What that means is that you might make a number of distinctions. You might make distinctions between adam amazik and niskei mamon, and cases where there's a patur tashlumin and a chiyuv tashlumin. Okay, those are two different categories. And as we'll see, adam amazik's relationship to niskei mamon is different regarding the question of svara and pturim and so on. And it's reflected in numerous things. So we have the machlokas on Daf Gimel and Beis, whether Adam HaMazik is included in the Mishnah or not, Mabe is Adam or not. I think I mentioned last time that the Rambam and Pirshim Shnayis felt the need to weigh in on this. I think that for the Rambam in particular, that was a very crucial thing. Because, as I mentioned last time also, the Rambam chose to take Adam HaMazik away from this Nizkei Mamon, against the Mishnayis, and the Gemara. The Tur didn't do that. The Tur did distinguish between Adam HaMazik and Nizkei Mamon, right? But they're contiguous. The Rambam has Nizkei Mamon, Gneva, Gezela, Chovel, and in Perek Hei, Hilchos Chovel, right, you have Adam HaMazik. So that, I think that's the reason that the Rambam weighed in the Mishnayis, I think, and as I'll try to show. I think for the Rambam, that decision to put Adam HaMazik into Chovel, I already alluded to it in terms of Hilchos Teshuva, was a very crucial decision. Adam HaMazik is more obvious than Nizkei Mamon, and there's also better reason to think that you've done a Maisa Veira, since you personally did something comparable to the other cases of Iser in the world of Nizik. Okay, so let's take a step back for a minute and think about what the Iser might be and the role that it might play. I think I noted last time that the Mabit in Hilchos Nizkei Mamon in Perek Hei assumes that there really is no Iser Lahazik, or at least in a case where you're Mazik Amanas L'Shalem, the Mabit says that there is no Mazik. He says the same thing in Hilchos Shkenin, by the way. He says a lot of Adinim of Archakas and Zakim that appear to be Daraisa are really only Darabana. Mabit seems to be taking the view, you know, that we should measure mazik in terms of quid pro quo. And either, you know, you don't need an Iser, or there isn't an Iser, the Raisa. Okay. That's Shkenim Chesalef and Niske Mamon Hayalef. Most Mefarshim, on the other hand, seem to think that there is an Isser. And it seems to come out of certain Mekoros that we'll talk about in a second as well. What is that Isser? So some of them suggest, Rishonim already suggest, that it's an Isser Klali of some sort. It's not a Din and Mazik per se, but it's, as we said before, some sort of broader idea that Mazik is part of. Whether it's Osamar Damriacha, right, the Medrash Halacha has that, mentions Mazik. The Rashash has Hashavas Abeda, right, the Adrama in Bava Basra, right, the second parak talks about V'hafta L'Riacha Kamocha, or Lifnei V'Lisitein Bichshol. The Ritva Miksav Yad in Gittin Nun Gimel Amud Beis, which in general, my experience, and it's not only my Hara, is very much influenced by the world of the Rama. It's not the real Ritva, in other words. What they published, Miksav Yad, also suggests V'hafta L'Riacha Kamocha, but he has other suggestions. Osisna Sachicha Bilvavecha, I think he also has Hashavas Abeda. He has several suggestions there. Some of the Achronim, I mentioned the Rashash and Ashkachma of Neiber. The Rush has a tshuva in which he talks about Drachel Darche Noam. That's a whole group of Rishonim. Now, that would account for Hilchus Tshuva and other things because you've really violated Nisar. But for our purposes, it would be basically telling us that there's no Isser Mazik per se, right? Just that the Mazik, happens to integrate into other dinim klaliyim, right? I should also mention that one could argue, I mean, not all Mefarshim agree with these views, while we totally, understand and identify with the logic of saying, if there's a din of the Haftal Rach and Kamocha, or if there's a din of Hashavas Aveda, or if there's a din of Lefnei L'Sitei Mechshal, or if there's a din of Osisa Zachicha Tavavacha, or if there's a concept of Drachah Darchei Noam, then the idea, that you could go around and just, destroy somebody's property because you're going to pay for it, doesn't seem consistent with that. Having said that, it's not obvious. And I suspect that some of the Rishonim would put up a resistance to it. Number one, because you might be mechalik at minimum between a serial mazik, and a once in a while mazik or a neglectful mazik. Right, in a doma niske mamon, certainly to adam mazik in that respect, but even an adam mazik, ba'ones, when you're in the middle of your sleep, you're gonna say you can say okay, this is chiyuv shmiras at. What I'm saying is it's not. The distinction between Adama Mazik Niske Mamon and serial Mazik, somebody who habitually does it, and an occasional or even Onus Mazik, certainly that's not obvious that there's a violation of the Avtal or Yachat Kavokh or these things. Moreover, in some of these things, there is very specific actions required. We're putting a Michshol, which require his action. And you don't have that in all cases. So I don't think it's so poshut. But there is a large group of Mefarshim that suggests this. If we take that view, then probably the relationship between Isser and Tashlumin, is likely non-existent. In other words, if the Isser is V'hafta L'Riacha Kamocha, or Hashavas Aveda, or Lifnei Iver, or Lo Sisna, or Drachecha, right, has nothing to do, presumably, with Tashlumin, which is in Parshas Mishpatim. If we can find, something very specific to Mazik that is Asur, right, then the question of it being connected to Tashlumin, right, is more likely. Even then, one could say, just as you would with the Isur Klalian, that Hailechu Dekoi V'Hailechu Dekoi, meaning there are Isurim, there's an Isur, and there's Tashlumin. There are two completely different areas of interest in Hilchos Mazik. You still maybe have to do tshuva, or you do have to do tshuva, but it has nothing to do with the Chiyuv Tashlumin. Okay. What we're interested in is the possibility that Mazik, more specifically, is an avera, but Torah's mazik. And then the possibility that it impacts, you know, on tashlumin itself. Ah. So here again, just to follow through on something I said before, we talk about the relationship between tashlumin and iser itself, that irony that I mentioned. So Rashi in Gittin, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, talking about Hezek Shein HaNikar and its status, says that if you have Hezek Shein HaNikar and you hold Hezek Shein HaNikar, Lo Shmei Hezek, right, then, and there's no Chiyuv Tashlum in Daraisa, so then there's no Iser either. If you held Hezek Shein HaNikar, Shma Hezek, then it would be Aser Minat Torah. It doesn't say what the Iser is. He just says that there would be an Iser. The Gra in Shulchan Aruch, commenting on the Gemara on Samach Amud Aleph, on Samach Amud Beis, in Bava Kamma, which we'll get to in a few minutes, also has a line like that, which he makes it, you know, pretty clear that the likelihood of there being an Iser is Hobahatalia, it's, you know, corresponds with, directly proportionate to the likelihood of Tashlum. The Ritva Miksav Yad, one of my Talmidim pointed this out to me, I always thought there were other rayas that were a little more oblique, but the Ritva Miksav Yad in Gittin Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis explicitly challenges that idea. Now again, it's interesting because he there is proposing one of the more klali explanations of Mazik. V'haftal v'acha kamocha, right, losisna, things of that sort. But he does make the point. He says, what does Tashlumin have to do with the Iser? I don't have the language here, I should have brought it. But he says, Hezek Shein HaNikar, Hezek Shelo, Hezek Shein HaNikar, Shema Hezek, or Lo Shema Hezek, is a din in Chosha Mishpat in Tashlumin. But you can violate the Haftal Reach and Kamocha even when there's no Tashlumin. It's a very fascinating line. Now, the truth is that to defend Rashi, did Rashi mean that without Chiyuv Tashlumin there's no Iser? Or he meant that it was a Shiur in, right, the Chomer Maisa Hezek and how you magdir that Maisa Hezek? It's a little bit hard to know. Right, the Ritva certainly took it, Miksav Yad, took it as saying that without Tashlumin, there's no Iser. And he's saying, Mechatesi, why should that be true? Right? So Rashi either holds that, or Rashi thinks it's a Shiur, like I said before, in the Tziruf to the Gabra, in the Chomer Hadavar, something which doesn't have the capacity to be Mechayev you, but Tashlumin doesn't create an Iser. In this respect, you might be mechalek between different peturim. And the Hezek Shein HaNikar in particular is a great example of this because of the following. As we know, when the Gemara in Gittin discusses Hezek Shein HaNikar, Shema Hezek or Lo Shema Hezek, they also link it to another question, and that is the question in Hilchos Geneva and Gezela, of Hareshul Kalafanecha. Right? Can you say Hareshul Kalafanecha? Right? After you, Chametz Pesach, right? Which is Hezek Shein HaNikar, or something like it. Can you say Hareshul Kalafanecha or not? So the Gemara says, if you hold Hezek Shein HaNikar, Shema Hezek, right? Then there's no Hareshul Kalafanecha. Otherwise, there is. So what's the point? What does Hareshul Kalafanecha have to do with Hezek Shein HaNikar? Hezek Shein HaNikar, Shema Hezek, Lo Shema Hezek. Its primary issue is whether you're Chayiv Tashlumin or not. The answer is, obviously, that if you hold Hezek Shein HaNikar, Shema Hezek, or Lo Shema Hezek, it's not just a question of Chayiv Tashlumin. It's a question, in that particular case, of whether or not there's a Chepta Shel Nezek, or there's a Hefse Mamam B'li Chepta Shel Nezek. And that impacts whether you can say the HM is like Zeilash or Gazal Imkain or Gazal Yachsir, or, right, meaning Hareshul Kalafanecha, or not. It's been irrevocably changed, invisibly, right, because it's in an Ikar, but Shema Hezek, irrevocably, invisibly, halachically, it's a different Chatz. So too, one might say that Rashi didn't mean, you know, per se, that tashlumin is a requirement for, or even a shiur in the Iser, maybe not even in the Chomer Iser per se, but in Hezek Shen Nika very specifically, or things like it, it's a shiur in, you know, the Maisa Hezek or the Chafetz Shel Nezek. Okay. Either way, the idea, you know, that tashlumin, you know, has a direct correspondence with Iser, is one which certainly is disputed by the Ritva Miksav Yad, as I say, even in Hezek Sheinu Nikar, and possibly is promoted by Rashi, depending on how you understand Rashi the Gra. The Gra says it's about Grama, etc. Might say make the same point. Is the question Chiyuv Tashlumim per se or not? Or is the question a shiur in the quality of the candidate for the Isra, or Maisa Hezek, etc.? So in that respect, there might be a difference between Hezek Shen and Nikar, Garmi, Grama, things of that sort, and even within, as opposed to, like, other Ptur, let's say, a Ptur Tamun, you know, Be'esh, or Kalim, you know, Bebor. Ptur'im, right, that undermine, or that are a result of from some sort of attenuation in the Maisa Hezek, or the Chepta Shal Nezek, or the Tzirus between the Gavra and the Nezek, may very well also, that's what I meant about the irony, they may very well also end up undermining whether you view this as a Maisa Veira. On the other hand, things that are more technical, Pturim or Xeris Akasuv, etc., but they don't lessen the Maisa Hezek, or the Tzirus, or the Chepta Shal Nezek. Those might be actually better or more obvious candidates for an Issa l'Hazik, because you don't even have the quid pro quo. It's not redundant and superfluous. Actually, the Maisa Hezek may even end up playing a far greater role. Regarding the chiluk between Adam HaMazik and Niskei Mamon, yeah?
Those were cases of Peturim, not an extra, I mean, they were Peturim for the quid pro quo, not excluded in the Yom.
Say it again?
No, like Tamun Be'esh or Kalim,
yeah,
were in cases where you'd be putter from paying the quid pro quo, not cases where you'd be high to pay beyond the quid pro quo. So do those indicate to me more of an Isser Nazik?
I'm saying there might be cases that you might need the. All I'm saying is you might. Right. So those happen to. You're right. Technically, you're right. But what I'm trying to use it for, and then we'll get to the cases soon where the Isser, you know, plays a role in the Tashlumin or expands the role in. But what I'm trying to say is that the emphasis on the Iser is dafka greater, where almost like in a kamle bedraba mine, you know, type of situation, or ein lokin, you know, umishalmin, you know, kind of a situation, and that is the role of the Iser as the primary, you know, koveya is greater when there's no tashlumin. Even though technically you're right, those are cases not where you're chayim tashlumin, even though you're patur. You know, now you're not potter b'choshem mishpat, and yet you're chayim b'torah as iser in that case. But what I'm saying is, mid those cases, nishma, that, you know, that maybe the iser can be independent of the tashlum. Okay, and in some cases, maybe expand the tashlum as a mechai. Yeah. Okay. Very. That's a good point. Okay. Okay. So regarding more specific formulations of what the iser is, we do find. Several of them. Okay. The Shiltos, in two places, speaks about an Isur l'Hazik. In one of the places, he does quote also Niskei Mamon, but he quotes the Niskei Mamon in Simon Samach Aleph. I think I gave you the other one. Is it the one I gave you? The bigger one. I gave it to you, right? Yeah, Kuf Yud Aleph. It's also in Samach Aleph. In Samach Aleph, he quotes Ki Averish and so on, but that primarily to establish that Nezek requires Meitav. But at least the formulation of the Shiltos, of there being an Iser L'Hazik, and he doesn't quote it as being connected to some Iser Klali. He doesn't quote what the Pasuk is either, but it does seem that the formulation, strictly speaking, is limited to Adam HaMazik. The tour. on the other hand, quotes the Issa L'Hazik twice, once regarding Nizkei Mamon, once regarding Adam HaMazik. The Shulchan Aruch only repeats the Adam HaMazik one, not, he drops the Nizkei Mamon one, which is very interesting. The Rambam, on the other hand, which we'll get to in a minute, mentions Asa L'Hazik, the language of Asa L'Hazik, in Perikei Hilchos Nizkei Mamon Alach Aleph. That's Nizkei Mamon. He also speaks about a chet, an avon, an iser, in Perikei Hilchos Chovel regarding Adam HaMazik. Even though the Rambam is mechalik between Nizkei Mamon and Adam HaMazik, he still applies iser even to Nizkei Mamon. In my opinion, if you look carefully at Perik Aleph Hilchos Tshuva Alach Aleph, where the Rambam speaks about the requirement of tshuva and vidui, there he only mentions Adam HaMazik. Second, I don't have it here. I brought the second volume, not the first one. Oh, I have it here somewhere. I do have. Okay, the Rambam here in Hilchos Tshuva Perik Aleph. Says v'chein kol mechuvei mechayvei misas bezin mechayvei malkas ein miskaper l'dum v'bisasan v'lekiyas and atchiasa tshuva v'yitzvadu. Then he says v'chein achovu b'chaveru v'hamazik mamono afa pisha shilam lo, right, mashu chayev lo, right, eino miskaper shizvadu v'yoshav v'lasos kazeh l'olam shenema mikol chatos ha'adam. So we'll get back to this, but it's very mechudash that the Rambam thinks that mazik mamon chavero requires vidui and tshuva in terms of makoros, and at the same time he only mentions adam hamazik. Right? He does not say that nizkei mamon, but a person's shor damaged somebody, that not only does he have to pay him, but he has to do tshuva as well. Right? So I think that is significant, even though the Rambam has both. Iser both in Nizkei Mamon and in Adam HaMazik, I think he thinks that they are different. In terms of tshuva, that would be one of the nafkamina, and we'll see going forward in what respect they are different. The Rambam is puzzling in that though he mentions Iser in Perikei Hilchos Nizkei Mamon and Perikei Hilchos Chovel, right, he doesn't quote a pasuk, and he waits till Perikei of Hilchos Nizkei Mamon and Hilchos Chovel to mention the Iser, and he mentions it agav in the case of both. In other words, typically the Rambam, you know, and again there are exceptions, but exceptions prove the rule. It's always, I think, a reason, you know, when there's an exception. Typically, the Rambam begins, you know, with a koteret. You know, Perikei Aleph Halacha Aleph, you know, by emphasizing, you know, the mitzvah or the iser. Here, there's no pasuk anywhere, and in Perikei, Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, for reasons that I'll try to explain in a minute, all of a sudden, he discusses iser. Similarly, there's no iser of Adam HaMazik, not in the Koteret, not in Sefer Mitzvos. There is, all of a sudden, in Perikei, Hilchos Chovel references, right, to there being son of Eira, and of course in Perik Aleph Hilchos Tshuva, you know, the requirement, it's called chatas, right, and it requires tshuva and vidui. So the question is, you know, why? You know, why no pasuk? I'm not sure. Why, if he believes that there's an Iser, you know, why does he bring it in so obliquely? This to be, you know, sharply contrasted with two other possibilities that are also very specific to Mazik. One is a possibility that Lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav is not simply Lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav or Lo Yishmerenu appears twice in Psukim and Mishpatim, right? Once in connection with Kofar, that's a behema shor shehemis is adam shor niskal, where there's Kofar. The other time, in this came Mamon, one could say that B'lo Yishmerenu or B'lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav is a condition, right? Yechayiv, right? Unless you did a proper, like we said before, call in the Mishnah, right? Call Shechavti Bishmirasi Charti is Nisko. If you take the second pshat of Rashi, right, you're not chayed because of lack of shmira, right? But if you did a shmira, right, if you bungled the shmira, then you're chayev tashlumin, because otherwise you'd be potter, because it would be onus. However, there's another way to read the pasuk or psukim, and that is that v'lo yishmerenu ba'alav is not a description of conditions for chiyuv or a condition of ptur, but that it is the mechayev. And if it's the mechayev, it also may be a kind of an iser asei v'lo yishmerenu. You violated your chiyuv shmira. So then it's not only, like the first day of Rashi, a description of the mechayev, of the act, you know, that you did, namely the omission, which maybe comes to be perceived as a commission, I'll explain what I mean, but even more than that, it's the Iser. Rabbi Hananel on Daf Tesvav does seem to relate to V'lo Yishmerenu, not just as a condition, but as a chiyuv, or an Iser. Of some sort, seems like it, and they say in the name of Reb Chaim, you know, that he felt v'lo yishmerenu ba'alav was the makar, you know, for nizkei mamon being hasar, expanding or the makar in general, even for adam, you know, it's easier in a way to say it's easier to explain the mechayiv of adam amazik than nizkei mamon. Again, one of the ironies. It's also in the opposite direction, easier to say about Niske Mamon that the lack of Shmira is the Mechayiv than it is to say about Adam HaMazik. I mean, there are people who say it about Adam HaMazik, that lack of Shmira Atzmo is the Mechayiv. But Pashtus, you would think that, you know, Adam HaMazik, the Maisa Hezek is the Mechayiv, and in Niske Mamon, maybe lack of Shmira is the Mechayiv. Anyway, so what Reb Chaim really meant, you know, or Baruch Ber quotes it in Birch HaShmua, and there are other versions of it, and the Chidushei, the Shiurei Reb Chaim, he has it as well. It seems to be brought down in slightly different ways. But V'lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav plays a role. If V'lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav plays a role, then that's important. And it implies, again, more of a, you know, the more of a Mechayev of lack of Shmira, all of the first language of Rashi, and so on, as well. But we don't find that in the Rambam. And you know, the Rambam's position remains difficult. The other possibilities are to look at Mazik as Gezel. So that you have most explicitly in Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah and Avos, Perek Aleph, this is one of my favorite pieces of Rabbeinu Yonah, because he's trying to explain Moshe Kibbutz Har Sinai and Masorah Yoshua. You know, why do you need a Masorah, you know, in the beginning of Avos? Like, what's the role of the Masorah? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, well, because we didn't have the Masorah, we wouldn't know, you know, that, you know, piece of the Masorah, which is that Nezek, you know, is Asur Mishum Gezel. So the reason it's one of my favorite pieces is because, you know, where does it say that in the Masorah in such a way, you know, that everybody but Rabbeinu Yonah saw it? Well, I think more people than Rabbeinu Yonah saw it. But the point is, Rabbeinu Yonah, it was part of Rabbeinu Yonah's Masorah, okay? Which means that, you know, Masorah, you know, is about, you know, the understanding that you achieve from your Rebbein, your specific Rebbein. But more than that, or part of that, is, you know, the global understanding of the halakha that you have, you know, by virtue of, you know, the total picture, you know, that is a function of what you learn, you know, the way that you learned it, you know, and everything else, you know, surrounding it. So for Rabbeinu Yonah, for whatever reason, whether he actually, you know, heard this from his Rebbeim, or what he heard from his Rebbeim, you know, actually led him to this conclusion in his understanding of this din, you know, that whatever it is, for him, it was part of his Masorah. And you know, it explains the intangible, you know, which of course is what really enriches you know, Limud HaTorah and the study and observance of Halakha as something that, you know, is passed down by Klal Yisrael and the way that it's passed down from generation to generation. So it's just an amazing Rabbeinu Yonah. Anyways, Rabbeinu Yonah says this, that basically Mazik is Midini Sergazel, and of course it's not obvious at all. because Gezel is something we saw by Yigzel, Sachanis Miyara Mitzri, is associated with a certain tzura. We understand that there's like a certain invasion of your, you know, of your property and of yourself. There's a Maisa Veira, Maisa Rishus. Again, Torah is very clear. In the Isur, the Kinyanin, there's the whole world connected to Gezel that is not so obviously connected to Nezek. And, you know, the fact that he perceived this as Mesorah is amazing, but in and of itself, it's not such a Dabar Pashut, and certainly not a Dabar Muska. What does it mean? There are some hints to it in other Koros. Gemara and Bava Kamadav, Samachom and Beis, talks about, you know, this the story about let's get it on the record. The Gemara has this whole discussion. Vayitaved David vayomer ni shakeni mayim midbor beis lachem asher bashar. So what were the Gemara says that they were, he was asking a shayla, my kami boile. Gemara says, Omar Rav Rav Nachman, tomun be'esh kami boile. Fascinating stuff, you know. David Melech was, they were discussing tomun be'esh. Okay. Ikrav yudu ki rabban. Upashtule, Omar Rav, gedijin desorim, di yisrael hava, davim mitmeri, plishtin behu. Really what they were wondering was, not tomun be'esh, but here there are two girsos. Our girso in the Gemara is Osir lahatzil atzmo b'mamon chaveiro. The Balei Tosis and the Rambam, when he quotes this also, chayiv adam, right? L'shalem, you know, kishematzil atzmo b'mamon chaveiro. We'll hopefully get a chance to talk about that. First of all, question is, if this is a case of mazik, the language of asur becomes very important, because it implies that there's an isa. Avlata melechata and poritz lasos l'derech emokem yado. Then the Gemara is a third possibility. Rabba bar Mari amru gedishim desorim diyisrael havu gedishim adoshim deplishnim v'kami baylu ma'u litol. Our gear says ma'u litol gedishim shal saorin diyisrael litol lefnei behem to amenas l'shalim gedishim shal adoshim deplishnim. The Pashtus, the Gemara is talking about Gezel. He's Gozel Amanas L'Shalek. And the Gemara wants to know, what's the halach? So the Gemara answers, Sholchulei Chavol Yashiv Rasha Gzela Yashalem. Afavish Gzela Meshalem Rasha. However, some of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, Rabbeinu Yakir, Bach also quotes it, had a different girsa on this Gemara. Not Ma'ulitol, but Mahu, what is it, Lisrov? Whatever it is, for them it was Mazik. So according to them, this always occurred to me, that basically what we're talking about is Mazik Almanas L'Shalem. That in itself is fascinating, we'll get to that in a second. And Mazik Almanas L'Shalem, and then the Gemara's Raya is, you're not allowed to do that, and they quote the Pasuk in Yecheskel, which is a Pasuk about Gzela. You're a Rasha, because you were a Gozel, even though you're willing to pay. So I thought, according to Ben Yonah, that's very good, because Mazik, the Gemara is saying, proving Mazik from Gezel regarding Amanas L'Shalem. This, it could actually be an Afkamina. A couple years back, we learned Ezoneshech. I don't know if anybody was still here from that group. No? Bob Metzia, Samachala. So you were here.
No. I wasn't here, we spoke about it.
Oh, we spoke about it with Meruba also. Yeah. It was about Abanas Lameka, the Benite in the beginning. Yeah. So the Gemara says there that what do you need a lav for Gezela, Ona'a, and Ribis? Right? Why don't you learn out from one to the other two, or two, you know, for the third? So then at the end of the Sugya, the Gemara says that Lo Signovu refers to Gonef Almanas Lameka. Ah. But it's Gonef Almanas Lameka, or Almanas Shalem. Kefel and Dalad Behe. That's basically a person who steals with the intention of paying. So this is a question. Is that mutter or asur? So Gemara is explicit when it comes to Geneva that it's asur. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Geneva, right in the beginning, says you're not allowed to be gonev, amanas lemekat, shelo yargil atzmo bekach. And some of the Nosakelim understand that the Rambam meant that it's only the Drabanan, where it means shelo yargil atzmo bekach. The Pashtus, I think, the Rambam didn't think it was a Drabanan, and he put it right in the beginning of Hilchos Geneva. And what he means about Shalayargil Bekach was a kind of a Tamiya mitzvos to explain why that really kind of captures the essence of Geneva. I mean, what the Rambam is trying to say is that Geneva, the Maisa Vera, the Maisa Otsom, Rishus HaBailim, right, as long as there's some sort of, shovi involved, and any momentary, Hefsid Mamon, the Mechayiv isn't the Hefsid Mamon. The Mechayiv is the Maisa Geneva. And Amanas LeMekat highlights that. Oh. The Rambam doesn't have Gozel Amanas LeMekat in Hilchos Geneva. The Rav thought that was very significant. I think that one could even expand on what the Rav said about differences between Geneva and Gezela. That's what we talked about in Meruba. We're not going to talk about that now. But the idea is that Amanas LeShalem in the world of Geneva and Gezela and Nezek is not so simple. The Adraman, Balbasra, and the Shiltos say explicitly that Gezela, Almanas Lamekat, is Osir. But in the Rambam, it's not clear at all. So what about Mazik, Almanas Lamekat? Right? And the point I'm trying to make is, and that's what the Rambam, I think, means to argue, the more we speak in terms of dollars and cents, quid pro quo, the easier it is to dismiss. Although even then, it's not Mukhrach, Almanas Lamekat. Right? Because assuming that there's a chalos of an amanas lemekat, as you could have said, your best intentions are dvarim shebelev, and even if you articulate them, I don't think dvarim shebelev, that there's no chalos of amanas lemekat. You stole the object, whatever you intend to do, even if you are, announce it, on the internet, is irrelevant. It's still a theft until you give it back. But then anything amanas lemekat should work, frankly. However, if you think there's a chalos of amanas lemekat that works, meaning there is something called stealing with the purpose of returning, or stealing Geneva with the purpose of enriching him. Kefal, he's too proud, he won't take my tzedakah, I'm going to steal from him so I can give him dalet. I'll shecht his animal, that way I'll be able to give him dalet behay, more tzedakah. Right? So, if there is such a chalos, so then it's a fascinating question to ask, does it neutralize the Yisr and the Aveira? And the answer should be, the more you think of this in terms of dollars and cents, the more patur it is, assuming there is a chalos. And the more you think of it in terms of Mais Aveiras and Yisr, like the act itself of Otsom Rishus Bailin is an act of Rishus, then it doesn't matter. Oh. So that you might be Bechalik in the balance of things between Geneva and Gezela. And even if you were to say that Geneva and Gzela, both Amanas LeMekat, are Chayiv, what about Nezek? So it could be 2 days in the Mishnah later on, and had it in the Bar Mikomas, on Kuf Yudalid, right? It could be that this is what the Gemara is discussing here on Daf Samech, Amud Beis, in this case. Are they talking about Gzela, or are they talking about Mazik? Oh. The tour says kishem she'asur ligno v'ligzol kach asur l'hazik. That's the language of the Torah. So the Bach says all the Torah really wanted to say was don't think that since there's no explicit isur, he articulates some of our problem, and it's all about money, that there's no isur in mazik. There is an isur in mazik, just like there's an isur in gzela, there's an isur in mazik. But the Torah didn't mean to say that the Isur Mazik is the Isur Gzela, or that's included in it. The Prisha says something similar. He says, all that the Torah wanted to say was, just like in Gneva, Amanas LeMekat is Asur, so too, right, Huadin Mazik. Interesting. However, in my opinion, the Torah was incredibly influenced by this is a historical note, by Rabbeinu Yonah and Avos. The whole Akdama of the Torah to Chosha Mishpat is taken, he quotes it, you know, taken with attribution. From Rabbeinu Yonah's parish in the very beginning of Avos, the difference between, you know, Al-Shoshad Varim Ha'olam Omed and Al-Shoshad Varim Ha'olam Kayam. So he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. So I don't think that it's, you know, unlikely that he also saw the Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, of, you know, Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai, which is right there. It's also noteworthy that the Tos HaRosh in Gittin, Nun Gimel Amud Beis, in that Sugya of Hezek Sheina Nikar, mentions Agav, that Nezek is Asur Mishum Geza. And of course, the Tur is the son of the Rosh. Either way, when the Tur says Kishem, I'm likely, I especially in light of the fact that there are other Rishonim who have this formulation, and the Gemara Bava Kamma, according to some of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, is equating Gezela and Mazik. I think that he means it. Tosas here on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, in the beginning of Bava Kamma, when he talks about the order of the Mishnah, so he says, like, where is Maveh, if Maveh is Adam? So he has one possibility that it's, you know, Maka Behema Yishalmeno, which is also very interesting, because same possibility is Maka Adam Yumas, that he doesn't emphasize, but... and then he has another possibility, that maybe it's in Mishpatim, you know, since Adam is already mentioned in context of Gneva, you know, and Gneva's on the list of Mazikim, you know, in the continuation of the Gemara, so Adam Pamazik is there too. That's not the same as saying that the Iser Lahazik is Gneva, but he certainly seems to be equating, or it's enough of a remez in terms of the Seder HaDvar. Put it that way. Either way, there's a lot of evidence that there's a group of Mefarshim who think that Mazik is a form of Gneva or Gezela, even without the Bayigzol Sachanis Miyana Mitzri. You know, and even without what you have in Oshek, which is Bob Yado, you know, Behetera, but then you use that, you know, in a dastardly way, right? Both on a Tzura level and that Hagdama, you know, which is about Kofar Bikadon and so on, are lacking in Nezek. It's a Chiddush to say that Nezek is Bechlal Gezel. However, I think that perspective does explain a lot of things. I'm going to table it for a moment because I don't want to go too long if I get a chance later. When we learned Baruba a couple years back, so I gave a shira on Tavru Shasya. One of the points I was trying to make there was that if you hold that there's a connection between Nezek and Gezel, then it explains a lot of phenomena. I'll just get mentioned very quickly two, but then refer to the rest. The details are very important because they really bring it out. But Tavra B'Shasya, of course, is a case of Mazik in the context of Gezela. As you do an act of Gezela, and then, while the chepet is in your possession, Tavra B'Shasya, you destroy it. And that's the Gemara in Samachem and Aleph, in Ruba, and the parallel Sugya in Amavgid, the Gozo Chavita de Chamre, you know, Mikar Shavya Aleph, and then the Sofsha went up in price, the Tavra B'Shasya, as opposed to Itbar Mimela, you pay Kishas Tavra B'Shasya. So, the pashtus of the Gemara is that it's an act of Gezel. The Gemara says, because, you know, since you destroyed the Chiyav HaShava, you know, it's like a second Gezela, and as such, you pay the higher amount of the two. If you look at the Nebuke Yosef Alatar and the Chiddush Aran, they change the word that when they write over the Gemara. It's not that they had a different Girsa. They interpolate the word mazik instead of gezel, and they write the Gemara. They're clearly uncomfortable with the formulation in the sugya. Meaning, the question is, what is the status of mazik in the context of gzela? Is it gzela, mazik, or something, you know, in between? So, again, the overwhelming evidence is that it's a kind of a gzela. For example, the Rambam, you know, Reb Chaim points us out as well, seems to say that, and other Rishonim that have debate about this, that Tavra B'Shasya generates or affects the amount of the kefel as well as the keren. That can only be, and that's an added chiddush, that Tavra B'Shasya isn't just gezel, but in the context of geneva, right, it's a reinforcement of the geneva that triggers its own kefel. Okay, there's a lot of evidence to that. But the Mukhe Yosef and Ran obviously were uncomfortable with it. The Ksos, of course, in the famous piece in Siman Lamed Daled, Sifkot and Gimel, you know, is bothered by the question of, you know, a gonev min haganav is potter. You know, he assumes that that means that a gozel min hagazlan should also be potter. That begunav mi beis yishvol mi beis haganav applies equally to gzela, not a din only in kefal or in maisa geneva, things which you could say, which I believe the Tosas Rid actually does say in the last parak of in a gozel matzra. And then he says, so how do you ever have Tavra B'Shasya? Right? Tavra B'Shasya is Gozel Achar Agzela. Oh. So the Ksos says, because it's really Mazik. The Mechayiv is Mazik, not Gzela. And the Sivas disagrees. The Sivas says there's a difference between, you know, doing the same level, you know, gozel achar gzela, and improving on it, right? Changing it, in other words, eliminating the possibility of returning to the end, you know, because you destroyed the chepetz. There's no longer kein shegozel yachzir. That's an asikas. That's how you understand shirikonav. That's not for now. Point again, that there seems to be a major debate whether gzela, right, followed by mazik is mazik or gzela. But where it really comes to very sharp issues is in the Sugya Sanhedrin, Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Right there, Rashi and Tosas seem to take the view that in the case of Baba Machteres, if you, what happens if you destroy the chepetz? Put it like this: if you Baba Machteres and you have a chepetz, you know, hagazel. Right? So if the chepetz is be'en at the end of the process, there's a debate in the Gemara between Rav, and I assume everybody knows this, between Rav and Rava, you know, whether or not Rav is of the opinion you don't have to return the chepetz. And Rava said, what are you talking about? Of course you have to return the chepetz. It belongs to the bailiff. You have to return the be'en. Very important issue about kinyan exeh. Rashi and Tosas take the position that that debate applies when the chepetz is really be'en. But let's say the chepetz is be'en after Kamale Bedraba in a moment, right? But then you destroy it later on, before you get a chance to do the hashav, or they get a chance to take it from you. So you did an act of shvira later. What will happen then? So Rashi and Tosas say you're potter. Right? And the Rishonim, after them, all ask, why is that different than Tavra B'Shasya? Right? The Balamor, the Ramban. So the Balamor asks a question. The Balamor basically says that really we paskin like Rav. We're just machmir according to Rava. But really Rav is right. You shouldn't have to return it even when it's banned. Ramban doesn't like it. Ramban's conclusion is that Rashi and Tosas are wrong. Namely, that if you destroy the chepetz post the Kamale Bedraba Minei time, it's Tavra B'Shasya and you pay for it. However, the Adrama Alatar in Sanhedrin says the following. He says Rashi and Tosas are correct. And the reason they're correct is because, you know, Tavra B'Shasya is in a vacuum. But this particular Tavra B'Shasya, right, is a continuation. Tavra B'Shasya is in a vacuum and it's about value. The chemitz is originally worth 1, now it's worth 4. Right? So T1 was Zman Chiyuv, and T2 is Zman Chiyuv. The only question is, you know, the fluctuation in price. But in the case of Bava Machteres, so T1 is Zman Ptur for the Mamon. because it's Kama Midrava Mine. T2, you know, is now being discussed. That's on top of Rashasya. Says because whatever you're going to say about the Chepetz, it still goes back to the original Gezela, doesn't it? So that's a fascinating argument. There are other Shitas also that highlight this. What's going on? Why? So say Midin Gezela, right? There's Kamalei B'Rav. There's an extended Kamalei B'Rav. It goes back to the source, and the source was Kamalei. It's a Kiddush about Kamalei B'Rav Mineh too, but Kamalei B'Rav Mineh, you know, undermines any subsequent, you know, extension of the Gzela. Even from Ptur Lachiv, never mind. Or from Ptur Lachiv. But why not say, forget about the Gzela? Lechumra, why can't we just say, you're Potum Yidim Gzela, because it was Kamalei B'Rav Mineh. Let's treat it like Mazik. Right? Ah. Tricky question. So I think that there could be two answers, and maybe there's one answer. One answer is, if you build up Kinyane Gzela, even if there's Kamalei B'Rav Mineh, which is an issue, so maybe that precludes Mazik. Because typically Mazik, instead of saying, oh, there are two dinim, it's Gezel and it's Mazik, it should be Machmir, you know, for each. Right? Say, you know, when it comes to Kefel, if you could say it's a continuation of Gneva, so you're Chayiv, you know, Kefel, but it's not less than Tavar Vashem, than Mazik Shelo B'Mokom Gneva Gzela. Maybe it is less, because our Kinyane Gneva or Gzela now. So in some respects, you're being Mazik, something which doesn't belong to you, because it belongs more to the Nigzal and the Nignav than it belongs to you, but you do have some Kinyanim in it. Maybe having some Kinyanim precludes Mazik. That would be an important Kiddush, both for Kinyanik Zela and for Mazik alone. Okay. But I think that maybe saying that requires us to say, or, if you want to abandon that, to say something a little different, and that's very relevant, the reason I'm talking about this here, requires us to say that the following, or to consider the following idea, and that is, if Mazik and Gezel are two completely different categories, have nothing to do with each other, then this is a very important question, a very critical question. Namely, what is the status of Gezel, you know, of Mazik in the framework of Gezel, and why should L'chumra, should it be ever less than regular Mazik? However, if we take the view that Gezel and Mazik are much more interconnected than one would think, right? So then, Mazik in the framework of Gezel, right, is a birya b'fnei atzma, and it has its own rules. It's not there's Mazik and there's Gezel, right? Because Gezel and Mazik themselves overlap. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, according to the Tur, maybe according to Tosa Rush, etc., the Iser Mazik itself is Gezel. And Reb Chaim, I'm not going to go into the details of this right now, in Perek Tes, Hilchos Gzela Halacha Aleph, and in Hilchos Chovel Perek Zayin, in both places, develops the idea that every Gezel, in Perek Tes, Hilchos Gzela, every Gezel has an element of Mazik. Talks about Abadim, specifically. Whenever there's a Maisa Gzela, right, in addition to the Dine Gzela of it, a Maisa Gzela is a Maisa Hesek. Maybe only if it ends up Avud, destroyed, but even before that, right, the Maisa Gzela is defined as an act of Hesek. And in Hilchos Chovel, he develops the idea that maybe, you know, anytime you have a Kinyan and then you have a Mazik, that becomes Gezel. As long as there's integrity, what he calls integrity of the Mazik, you hold Hezek Sheino Nikar Shma Hezek, then you can create a Gezel out of a Kinyan framework for Mazik. Again, the details are, you can look them up. Talking about a person does malacha with mechatas and paraskatas. You know, you have to read it a few times, like Kedarko or Reb Chaim, you know, to understand it. But I think the idea is, is that there's evidence that Nezek and Gezel are interconnected in both directions. And if that's the case, then a mazik in the framework of Gezel, right, becomes a specialized mazik, and you can't just say, you know, be machmir ki'ilu, there's no gzela anymore. Because it's not a clash of two different values, it becomes a new category of that single value. Okay. That's in terms of the Gezel idea. What about the Rabbah? So till now we've talked about, you know, Isser Kloli, we've talked about the possibility of Gezel. Gezel is much more to say, obviously. What about the Rambam? So I think what really happened in the Rambam is the following. I think there are two different points in the Rambam, but they are connected. The Rambam omitted any mention of Isser Hezek in Niskei Mamon and in Adam HaMazik until Perikei Hilchos Niskei Mamon and Perikei Hilchos Kovel. I think the reason that he did it is for the reasons that we have been promoting. Namely, that most of Dinei Nezek are quid pro quo. Mostly the Chiyuv Tashlumin is a result of the Maisa Hezek and the Hefsed. Maisa Hefsed, I should say, not Maisa Hezek. Or the Totsav Hefsed that you are responsible for. And fairness and Svara and so on. The Rambam brings in the Isser, and again, doesn't tell us what the Makar is, only when the Isser matters, when the Isser plays a role. And I think that the role that it plays is a little bit different in Niskei Mamon and in Kol. In Niskei Mamon, the case that the Rambam brings it in is Perikei Halachal. That's a case in the Gemara in Daf Kav Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara discusses what I call, what I will call here, a preemptive strike. Right? Gemara talks about a case where he had an animal that was terrorizing, you know, a particular field, right? And the question is, are you allowed to take action or not? Makos of Yosef Yitema Rabba Salkan Le'eva Nachdin Le'tata Hani Izi Deshuka Demafsidi Masrina B'marayu Treyu Tlasa Zimnin. Right? Itzayis Tzayis Ilo Amr Le'i Tivam Sachta V'kabel Zuzek. So it's a fascinating case. It's a case which justifies a preemptive strike. Oh. How can I have a preemptive strike, especially in this case, Momo? If it's quid pro quo? Right, the whole idea of quid pro quo is that there's no maisa beira, there's no tsura saveira, right? It's just, you know, if he did something to you, then he should pay for it. It's very consequence result oriented. And whoever is active is chayiv, and whoever is passive should remain passive. Why doesn't he have to sit, wait till he gets damaged? First of all, there's always an outside chance that he won't. And even if we know vadai, we have a crystal ball, and we know vadai, we have a nevuah, right? Still, it didn't happen yet. It's like in wars, right? You know, preemptive strike. It's a big moral, legal issue, right? You know, if you want public opinion on your side, often you have to take the first blow. And what about, you know, the morality and the legality? Right? Preemptive strikes are not a davar pasha. So the Balik Tosis and the Ravid take the view, Nafka b'hanu dekayim b'lishchita, apagav shishalma mashaziku, right? Leboi lemeka badayu ledina. Basically, Tosis is saying, how can you have a preemptive strike? Tosis gives two factors. Number one, you're not losing any money because it's omed l'shchita anyway. So there's no financial issue. And but still, you should have to sit there and absorb the blow and take him to court. Taking him to court is really annoying. Loi boy, lemekam bandayu ledina. Zimna namni deleka sadi. Aval ez lechelba v'racha legizasa. stam a preemptive strike where the other fellow loses financially, yachalomar, right? Kasher yazik yishalim. They have to absorb the blow. So Tosis' view on preemptive strikes is there has to be some sort of a justification, number one, and there can't be any financial consequence. The Ravid also takes the view that this is a very, very specific issue, not to be generalized. Ravid says, Amar Abram, Dvar Mahalala, Lanamra, Begamar, I'll see what El be easy to shuka, shamedes to shchita, ein lem roeh. Right? He also thinks it's a case where there's no roeh. Av boy sheyesh, so maybe he won't even get paid. Av boy sheyesh lo. I'm sorry. The mi sheyesh lo eder shabehemos ein shochlin kol edro. Elim yazik lo elim yishalim below shemasra. In a different way, right? The Ravid limits this case. The Rambam, however, has the following. It doesn't have any of these qualifications. Behema, Shoisa Roa, Pirsha, Benichnasa, Besadus, Bekramim, Alpha Pisha, Dain, Loazika. Plus, he didn't do anything yet, right? Masrin, the Balea, Gimel Pa'amim, Imel Shomar, Behemto, Velo, Mena'am, Yuliros, Yesh Rishos, oh, yeah, so first of all, three Hasras, Velo, Mena'am, Yuliros, but nothing happened. Yesh Rishos, the Bal Hasadeh, L'shachta shchita k'shera. Okay, at least shchita k'shera with the OU standing there. V'omer lebaleha bo'u u'michru basar shalachem. V'pnei she'asar la'adam lahazik u'lishalim ha'shehizik afilu ligrom ha'nezek asar. Wow. That's where first time he mentions the Isar. Afilu ligrom ha'nezek asar, we'll talk about that. And then, lefika chomru chachamim asru chachamim legadol behema daka, v'chaya. Right, that's a din rabbanan. Be'eretz Yisrael, b'makom asadus v'akramim. And then the rest is asara tnaim. The whole rest of the parak is, we'll call it for the moment harchakas nezaken. What's going on in the Ram? But the Ram doesn't say it's only if it's anyway omid l'shkita. Right, he doesn't have any of these other. The truth is, even before the Rambam, and maybe he wouldn't have said it if not for this. Rav Haigon, if you look at Otsar Gaonim, I think I had it on the Mark of Promos, right? The Rav Haigon interprets, doesn't have these qualifications of Tosas or the Ravid, right? However, Rav Haigon does say one thing that the Rambam doesn't accept. Rav Haigon seems to say that anybody can step in and prevent or preclude the carnage. The Rambam doesn't hold that way. Ram says only the Bala Sada can do it. And only the Rambam brings in Isa. It often happens this way, that Rav Haigon, or Rav Haigon and then Rabbeinu Chananel, or Rav Haigon and Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rif or the Rimigash, you know, they take the first step, you know, and then the Rambam, you know, goes with it, but in his own way. Right? So I think this is what happened here as well. So basically, what is going on here? Preemptive strikes, again, without the conditions that were of the Ravid and the Bali Tosas, are very problematic. That's why the Rambam needs here to invoke the Isser. What the Rambam is saying is, you know, without the Isser, there's no chalos behema home medes lahazik. Right? There's a behema mazik and behema it's not mazik. But if there's a chiyuv shmira or an iser lo lishmar, right, and there's hasra, and if it's asur legadel behema daka v'chaya, even daka of Eretz Yisrael, if there's a chiyuv av harchakas nezakim, maybe some of these drabanan, but they're patterned after general din d'oraisa of nezek, then not only is there, you know, a this is a threatening animal, it's a category, but it even justifies, I don't have to sit back and let him do the Isur, and let him do something he's not allowed to do. Again, if it's quid pro quo, it's all about money, dollars and cents, so who's kubase and who's shabaltase? There's no anticipation, there's no status, and there's certainly no justification for me to be the Kumba Aseh person. Again, for Paigon, maybe it's La Fushe Mi Surah, I'm not even sure. But for the Rambam, the idea is that since there's an Iser component in Mazik, that allows me, right, to defend myself. I don't have to wait around, since he's not allowed to do it. It's not just about money, right? It's a violation of my rights. I don't have to wait for it to happen. And I think that's why the Rambam continues, Lefikach asur chacham lemilgadel behema daka, right? B'makom asadus v'akramim, and that's Sarat Tanoim. The whole continuation of the Rambam here is about the extra chiyuv of harchakas nezakin that people have. It's not that I'm doing this for his sake, so lahafrisha miyisura, maybe the Rahaigon holds that, but I don't need, right, to absorb the first blow, since this is something which I have the right to be defended against and which he has no right to do. So I think in Hilchos Niskei Mamon, that's why the Rambam introduces Iser Dafka here, because here's where the Iser expands, right, the Hagdara of Hezek and defense from Hezek. Mashal Amad V'Dom, I like to give this mashal, that the Rambam in general understood that we don't always interpret in a narrow way certain categories of halakha. Right? The best example, I think there are many in the Rambam and in other cases as well, is the Rambam's view that I alluded to before about Poshea Kemazik. Right? The Rambam famously, even though there are differences between this case and that case, I'm just trying to get one thing from it. In Hilchos Schir's Parak Beis Halacha Gimel, Rambam famously explains that in his opinion, the Chiyuv Pshia V'Shomer Chinam, right, applies even to Avonim Karka and Shtarus. Because Poshea, he says, not Chiyuv Shmira, right, it's Mazik. So the Ravid attacks the Rambam. If it really was a din of Mazik, then there should be no Ptur Balavino. It's a famous question. And the Poskim, the Chosha Mishpat, the Sivas, and others just attack it on its own merit. They say, what do you mean Poshea is Kemazik? Poshea is not Kemazik. It's a Sheval Tase. It contributes to, right, but it's not causally enough. It's a grama. According to Dine Nezek, Poshea is not Kemazik. So what's going on with the Rambam? Both of those issues. But the answer is, and again, Reb Chaim, earlier the Shach, and then Reb Chaim, and the Baal Avimo explain, that Baal Avimo isn't the Ptur. If it was a Ptur, it wouldn't apply to Poshea Kemazik. It's a Hafkos Shem Shomer. Right? He's not a Shomer, so then he's not Chayim B'Pshia. But I think you have to say more. I mean, you could say that, technically. I think that's enough. I think it's better if you say more. And for the Nesivos, you certainly have to say more. And that is the following. And again, it's consistent with what Chaim says and the Shach says. And that is as follows. The Rambam's view that Poshea is Kemazik is a din in Hilchos Schiros. In other words, the background of Kabbalah Sachrayas, the reliance that he puts on you in this case, is what turns an act of omission into an act of commission. In other words, in Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, or even Chogalamazik, it's true that Sheval Tasa, that Poshea, would not be Mazik. But that's because the people have no relationship to each other. But if I've invested trust in you, and I'm relying on you, right, that bumps up not only your responsibility, but it redefines what constitutes Nezik. Rabbi pointed out to me, and again, I think there are other makoros of this in Bava Metzia as well, that the Hagdara of Poshea for Shomer Chinam and for Shomer Sachar, according to some Rishonim, are different. And he was quoting the sugi, some of the Rishonim on Nunches in Bava Kama. I know it from some of the Rishonim also in Hashoel, meaning Poshea for Shomer Sachar is easier to define or has a lower threshold than Poshea for Shomer Chida. How could that be? I mean, Pshia is Pshia. Right? Whether it's in terms of Poshea Kamazik or just the Chiyuv for Hagdara Pshia. But if certain definitions get redefined by their context, the extra Kabbalah Sachrayas of Shomer Sachar lowers the threshold of what constitutes Poshea. And in turn, the category of Hoschirus of Kabbalah Sachrayas Shmira, right, turns a passive Pshia into a Hagdara of Poshea Kemazik. But for that, you need to be a Shomer. Right? And therefore, it's a din in Hoschirus. It wouldn't work in this Kemambon. And the Sivus is right about that. And it wouldn't work in Balavimo because there's no shame Shomer. Right? Harchokas Nezokin is a Nezek, not just a Melitza, in Hilchos Shchenim, where people have expectations of each other. And Hezek Re'ia is Mazik because Klal Yisrael have to live according to a certain Kedusha standard. Right? Ma Tovo Alecha Yaakov Mishkinosecha Yisrael. It's what I call the interface. We have it in Ribbis can be Gezel, because there's a chiyuv tzedakah and a chiyuv achva, or v'ahavta l'rayacha kamocha, which demands that Jews, you know, relate to their fellow Jew in business opportunities and needs in a different way. So it's not just that there's an Issur Ribbis, according to some Rishonim, Ribbis can be Gezel. If Klal Yisrael Rachmanim, B'nai Rachmanim, you know, then maybe Shavu Pruta is Magdir Momon, you know, for Klal Yisrael, even though it's not for B'nai Noach. It's what I call, and there are numerous examples of it, the interface between Yoredeya and Choshen Mishpat. A lot of these dinim could be in either. I mean, Ribbis and Tzedakah are in Yoredeya. You know, for the Rambam, they're in Nechuzma, they're, you know, at least the Ribbis is Nechuzma Bavlova. So I think that what you have here is something very similar. What the Rambam is telling us is, if this had been pure Choshen Mishpat, you know, then, you know, what is it? Amad inish dina denafshei, without excuse, there's a financial loss, you're the one who's being kubvaseh, you have no right to do this. But he has no right to damage you. It's asur. And therefore your defense, you know, is a natural corollary of his being asur. In Chovel Amazik, I think it's even more so. With the Rambam in the Chovel Amazik has three halachos that draw upon this notion. He begins Parakei Yichus Chovel, Asur la'odam lachbol bein ba'atzmo bein b'chaveiro. And then, in halacha, Tess, the Rambam says, Eina dome mazik chavero begufa la mazik mamono, sha mazik chavero kivin shashile mashu chayev l'shalem niskaper lo, avo chava b'chavero afo bishanasa lo chamisha dvarim ein miskaper lo. Filu hikriv kol eli nevoyos ena miskaper velo nimchalavono ad shivakesh menanechbo v'yimchalo. So this comes from the Mishnah in Hachovel. But the Mishnah in Hachovel is much more tame than the way the Rambam quotes it. Okay, the Mishnah here says and so on. Then the Rambam says, Omer Samas Eini, Kateas Yadi, Shaberis Ragli Chayev, Amnas Liftar Chayev, Kras Ksusi, Shaberis Kadi Chayev, Amnas Liftar Potur, Asachain, Asachain, Ish Ploni, Amnas Liftar Chayev, Bein Begufa, Bein Bemamor. That's the Mishnah. The Rambam made it into a comparison, a competition between Mazik and Chovel. It doesn't appear that way in the Mishnah. Eina Dome, Mazik Chavera Begufo, Lemazik Mamono, Shamazik Chavera Kim Tashilim Chayv Lishalim Niskaperlo, Chovel Bechavero requires Pius. Where does it say anywhere that a Mazik Chavero requires Kapara? Not in this Mishnah. And that he doesn't require pius? Also not. You could have taken three positions. You could have said that mazik is, there's no tshuva, there's no kapara, there's tashlumin. Again, if he doesn't pay his tashlumin, that could be gezel, it's something else. Not tzayizdina. But a mazik mamun chavero requires kapara? He requires to pay, but for kapara? That's part of the chiddush. And im kvar as kvar, if you think that mazik mamun chaver requires kapara, how do you know it doesn't require pius? Now the Mishnah only speaks about chovel, but the Mishnah only speaks about kapara for chovel. But the Rambam turned the whole thing into an ein adoma, and when did he do it? Right in the middle of Parakeh. And the background with what's really going on in the Rambam is the Rambam made a choice for global reasons. The Rambam felt that Adam HaMazik belongs in Hilchos Chovel HaMazik. Right? Separated from Geneva and Gezela. Never mind this Kemamon, against the Mishnayos and so on. So the Rambam's keen eye, right, is focusing on comparing and contrasting in dialectical fashion Mazik and Chovel. The Rambam's more inclined to apply Dinei Chovel to Mazik, even as he's more inclined, even without evidence, let me add, even as he's more inclined, also without evidence, to be mechalek between Chovel and Mazik. For whatever reason, in his global, that's why he put it here, and he compares them, and he contrasts them. So part of the, that's how he starts. Eina dome mazik chaver. What do you mean, dome? Where'd it come from, even? The Mishnah has chilukim regarding krak susi. The Mishnah doesn't have this chiluk. The Mishnah doesn't mention this kapara, and it doesn't mention that there's no pius. The Rambam came up with, you know, ein adoma, it's like a major proclamation, a drumbeat. Hamazik chavero kivin shashilim niskaper, kapara. How do we know this is kapara? You need kapara. Avol chavo b'chavero needs pius. What's fascinating, in Paragalikos Tshuva, as I mentioned, the Rambam says chovel, and Mazik, that's Lashitaso. No Makar, pretty much. The Kesa Mishnah says, what's the Makar for a Chovel? He says, because the Mishnah in a Chovel says that you need Pius. So if you need Pius, obviously you need Tshuva and Vidui. But the Rambam includes Mazik, where he, on his own, came up with the idea that there's no Pius. Or maybe he's Medayik from the fact that the Mishnah is talking about Chovel. But the diuk that the Mishnah is talking about Chovel didn't preclude him from thinking that there's still kapara for Mazik. So what's fascinating is, and again, there's no Niske Mamun in Perek Aleph, because Niske Mamun isn't in Hilchos Chovel. It's in Hilchos Chovel because it's like Hilchos Chovel and not like Hilchos Chovel. That's the point in the Rambam. So then in the next halacha, Yud Aleph, the Odesh Hefresh, again, this is true, it's true, the Mishnah makes a distinction. But for the Rambam, it's Odesh Hefresh. His whole perspective is to do this analysis, right? So it's Odesh Hefresh, Bein Nizke Gufal and Nizke Mamono. She'omer l'chaveru samis eni kateas, yad yomena shata patur, chai b'chamisha dvarim, she'yodavar yodua, she'en an amrotza b'ka. Here the Rambam actually downplays a little bit the distinction of Kabbalah. He could have said, "Ein demochel al rashi varim is a dinim bailus." I wish he had, for other reasons too, but he doesn't. Makes it more into a mishata nibach kind of an idea, unless he means the other, but he's saying it this way. I've tried to suggest that in the past, but I can see how people might think that's pushing it too far. Aval omer lechaveru kras ksusi shaberis kadi al menasha tapator hareza patur. That's part of the Mishnah. Leim lo amar almanas shata patar is a chayiv afal pi shirsho lahashchis. The words afal pi shirsho lahashchis are not difficult. but they are added. It sounds like what the Rambam is saying is there's no Isser in this case, right? But there's a Chi of Mamon. But in general, there is a overlap between Chabala and Ma'at. We're putting them in the same framework, even as we're making the distinction. And then, I think the coup de grace is Halacha Yud Gimel. Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam says, Omer l'chaveiro, shaver kelev shoploni, amenasha tepater, v'asa rezachayev l'shalim. U'ke'ilu amar, same eno shoploni, amenasha tepater, ava bisha osa chayev l'shalim, hareza omer lo, shutfo b'avon v'rashahu, shari hichshul, iver v'chizek, yedei, over abeir. In the Mishnah, all you have is Atzei kein l'ish ploni amanas liptor chayiv bein megufo bein mamono. Right? The way the Rambam has it is, it sounds like this particular halacha is more obvious in Chabalah than it is in Mazik, but you should know that it applies in Mazik as well, because vis-a-vis this halacha, Mazik is like Chovel. In the Mishnah, it's just a common denominator. It's generic. What's in the din in the Mishnah? There's no shlichos l'dvar aveira, right? Ain't shlichos l'dvar aveira when it comes to mazik and chovel. But the Rambam interpreted is there's no din of shlichos l'dvar aveira and chovel, but who adin l'mazik? Right? That's what he says. That's what the words uki'ilu. Amar, you don't need ki'ilu. Right? But if what the Rambam is saying is mazik is asur, it's asur because of what it shares with chovel, although it's not quite as asur as chovel is. For the same reason you don't need pius, but you do need kapara, right? For the same reason that in one maybe there's no mechila barashe barim, and the other there is, unless that's just an omdana, which brings them together even more in a way, right? So what we're saying is that this there's no shlichos l'dvar aveira. Oh. Now, the avapisha osa chayiv. I'm sorry, ukiilo amar same avapisha osa chayiv l'shalem. Hariza haomer shutfo ba'avon v'rashahu. Here's what the Rambam says, not just in Chovel. The meshaleach and the shliach in mazik mamon chaveiro is a shutaf ba'avon and a rasha. Not like, unlike the Rabbeinu Yaakov, the Rambam never ever says that a mazik chaveiro is pasul yedus, which is a huge kiddush. Right? But he does call both of them, the shliach and the mishaleach, a shutaf ba'avon and a rasha. Now he does add, shari hichshil iver behez b'chizek yidei obreve. So one could think, oh, this is just a fneiver l'sitein mishal. But I think if you look in Hichos Rotzeach and the Frankel in particular, I think he makes note of the fact that typically the Rambam does not characterize Lifnei Iver as a shutaf ba'avon ba'aveir, or certainly not in the strength. So I think what the Rambam is saying is, my suggestion, if not for the din, the universal, maybe even klali din of Lifnei Iver L'sitein Mitchel, whether it's klali or prati, even if it's klali, and the din, the concept generally of being mechazek yedei obri aveira, if not for that, it would be harder to conclude, right, that the mishaleach of chavalah and even of mazik was a shutaf ba'avon v'aveira. But because generally we have that view, it's bumped up here even more because of the nature of the particulars. So then what is the Rambam saying? He's really telling us that there's this interesting, you know, mazik is and mazik isn't. It's fascinating. Reb Chaim has a very interesting piece on Mar Makomos. I started a couple minutes late, so I'm actually still under 2 hours, and I said we have 15-minute leeway. So I'll try to make it be a good example. It's interesting. Reb Chaim has a piece in Hilchos Toin V'Nitan, which I like very much. I quote. about it, where he talks about Dmei Karka Kekarka. He's trying to explain, Rambam has a shita that if there's a dispute, right, about chiyuv that you have regarding karka, that you are going to be a potter mishvua, because in nishvayim ala karkas. Good. And the Ravid says two things. Number one, there's no din of English boy malakarkos in tashlume karka. Me karka is not karka. The haraya, right? Deme chavala, right, is not considered to be kidme adam. Because if somebody says chabalta bishnayim and so on, we treat it like motive miktsas. The Ravid also says, this is not for now, but it's relevant actually, that therefore, says the Ravid, if you want to pay money, or if he wants you to pay money, then you can take a shvuah. It's only if he says to you, bring your bulldozer and put my property back to pristine form, right? Only then is it to make karka on your patur mishvuah. So that second point is a very big finish, namely that if there are two solutions to a problem, that the one that you choose has substantive impact on it, almost like there are two mechayvim, there are two ways to look at this problem. One is a monetary value problem, and the other is a, put me back, undo the maisa, which was mechayvim, turn back the clock, or restitution, or restoration. And depending on what you pick, that can have nafkamina. Right? There are other examples of this as well, where sometimes the mode of your response dictates the substance. Fine. But the first question, the Chaim tries to answer the first question in particular, isn't right to the second question, which I reversed the order, but that is that what is the Rambam? If you look at Obasnara Basula, the Rambam also paskins Chabalta Bishnayim, that's not considered Dmei Adam. So what's the difference between Chabala and Mazik? So as Reb Chaim, the difference is that in Mazik, you're basically, the Tashlumin is correspondent. He doesn't say these words, but it's quid pro quo. He also doesn't say that it's only quid pro quo. But primarily, why is there no pius? This he doesn't say, I'm adding. Why is there no pius in Mazik if it's already something that requires tshuva and kapara? Right? The answer is because the money does neutralize life. It puts you back to where you were, or it solves the problem, because it is, even the Iser is a monetary Iser. Not Chabalah, not even Gneva, or not even Gzela, not even Oshek. Right? These are subtle differences. So the point is that, says Reb Chaim, the Ravid, or rather the Rambam will tell you that when it comes to Mazik, to make karka is kakarka. Right, what you did and what you pay are directly correspondent. Chabala, on the other hand, this is Reb Chaim's chiddush, mide tsar uboshes nishma lenezek. Even the nezek isn't correspondent. I think what he means, and I think this is lishitaso in Perikei Hilchos Sanhedrin and in Perikei Hilchos Chovel, where the Rambam has a very famous shita influenced by the Rimi Gash, where he calls nezek, knas. He doesn't mean it fully, but he definitely thinks that there are knas-esque aspects to nezek of Chabala. And in this piece, the Rambam doesn't speak about that, but what he does say is, mide boshes v'tzar, where there's no hefsid mamon, nishma v'nezek. What do you mean? Nezek, you're relating to the loss, and in the others, you're not. You could argue with Reb Chaim. But what he's suggesting that the Rambam means is, and I think it fits like a glove with the Knas idea, is that even though you pay correspondent to the financial damage of the Chabalah, right, it's unacceptable halachically to put a dollar sign or a dollar value on Chabalah. We do it, but we do it as a kind of onesh and knas, not a kind of a kofar in a way. The whole beginning of the Rambam Hilchos Chovel and this whole Ayin Tachas Ayin, I believe, is based on that. And the whole Shaka Matari, the Gemara in the beginning of a Chovel, is that nezek It's true. Shamin, you know, bid nizak. But it could practically just have been shamin bidamazi. It could be blood money. Why? Not only because it's what you deserve to happen to you. That's what he means by, and even in Moreh Nevuchim, I believe that's what he means. By ayin takas ayin, you know, on one level is mam. The mechayev is mamish. Right? The kiyum, how we do it, is tashlum. But the point is that the money is a kind of an onesh, a kind of a kofar, even though it's been an izik shaymina. So that's what he means, Reb Chaim. Midah, busha, right? Vitzar, nishma l'ned. Then he goes on further, we were talking about it before this year. He says, and maybe even sheves, because maybe it's too much of a sheval tase to be a real nezek. It's too garmi, or grama. Maybe that's also not real tashlum. So it's never dmei karka. It's an onesh. It's a chi of tashlumin, you know, because of what you did to the karka. But it doesn't bring you back the karka. It doesn't restore it. It doesn't even financially compensate you for, the Kabbalah, right? Oh. So I think this is a very perfect. The Rambam has this view of the difference between mazik and chovel. And yet he thinks, despite it, that mazik belongs in Ilchus Chovel, requires kapara blipias, right? Mochlin, but it's an avon. It requires tshuvan vidui, and even the mishaleach, never mind the shliach, is a shutaf ba'avon. That, I believe, is the Rambam of Shiva. Just give me 5 more minutes, I'll just mention a few other things very quickly. The evidence that Iser affects Tashlumin comes mostly from 3 different sugyas. One is the fact that the Gemara applies Ein Shliach HaDvar Aveira to Nezek. In the Nuns with Bor, and in Kiddushin, second Perek, with Eish. The second is the Mechilta, which says Ein Onshin HaDin, applies it to Bor. The Tosis quotes on Beis Amid Aleph. And the third is the application of Kimle Midraba Mine, the Mishnah Daf Lama Dalet Amud Beis, Shemrisha Achasatam Achaivo, to Nezek. It's fascinating, in light of what we just said, how the Rambam uses Ein Shliach HaDvar Aveira here in Perek Hey. One could have said something different, several things. Number one, you could have limited or been mechalik between Bor and Eish, even and the other Nizke Momons, or between Nizke Momon and Anam Amazik, which the Rambam doesn't. B, one could have argued that Ein Shliach HaDvar Aveira is a melitza, meaning Aveira is a Hechet Timtzi, it's an example. Reb Chaim was of the opinion that the din of Ein Shliach HaDvar Aveira is not a din in Aveira per se, and the Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomin is not a taina, like the Raman Sanhedrin says, what if the guy's not towing? Is there a din of taninan? I think what Reb Chaim would have said, Pia Shmua, Reb Chaim understood that Ein Shliach HaDvar Aveira is a din in bailos. You only have shlichos where you have jurisdiction, bailos. You're not a bailin to tell people to do aveiros. Reb Chaim thought that the reason that you can't do certain mitzvos shebegufo, al yidei shlichos, and the reason you can't do averus are the same. Namely, you can't jurisdiction it out. There's no samchut to do a mitzvah, certain mitzvahs, unless it's a mitzvah that you have samchut, or to get married, to get divorced, etc. To put on tefillin, there's no, you can't give somebody jurisdiction on your tefillin putting on. It's a physical act. Not like the Tosfot in Nechsos. Oh. So one could have said, it's true, the Gemara uses the expression in shlich advar veira regarding, you know, Nezek, that doesn't mean it's an Aveira. Right? It just means that there's no bailus. But clearly that's not how the Rambam, when the Rambam says, oh, ke'ilu omar same'eni, right? There's no bailus to burn down somebody's field, even if there is no Isur. Not mine. And there's no bailus to beat him up. Right? But it's not one more than the other. Anyways, that's in terms of shlichus and var veira. In terms of Ein Onshin Min HaDin, I think it depends on a bunch of other things. The Rajba has a comment where he says that Ein Onshin Min HaDin is applied only to Bor because of its being so mechudash. And then he goes on to explain why it is so mechudash, right? It's not holy chlahazik, you know, you don't have bailus over it, it breaks all the rules. Sounds like he's saying that Bor Yerchayev for Yitzira Samazik. So there you have Ein Onshin Min HaDin. Well, what's interesting is that the Marie Katz in Shidim Kubetzes says, oh, really, there are two dinim. Ein Onshin Min HaDin refers to the Isser. Doesn't refer to the Chi of Tashlumin. Doesn't sound that way in the Pekilta. He says, the Haraya, there's Kofar. So it's a fascinating Marie Katz because he is basically citing Kofar to prove that all Niske Mamon, not Kofar in every case, Kofar proves that there's Iser in this. There's always two dinim in this kemamon, but they can be separated. Exactly what we've been talking about. Tashlumin and Iser. One could have said, you know, maybe there's only Kofar in Misa. And I'm not sure Kofar implies Iser either. Maybe Kofar means a Minyurbet Suraf to a result of Misa. Again, Birchas Shmuel, when he quotes Reb Chaim, says that Kufra Kapara proves that there's an Iser Lahazik. That's very much in keeping with that line of the Marie Katz. But I think one could have said, A, it's limited. Limited to case of where there's Kofar, at least, where there, let's say, Muad, right? But not necessarily apply in all cases. Or it's not even that. It's just a din in Kapara. So that's an interesting question. It also depends on Ein Onshin Min HaDin and what Ein Onshin Min HaDin really is. You know, those who think that Ein Onshin Min HaDin is based on, it's not really a Kal V'Chomer because you aren't taking into account the Kapara factor. In other words, it's not true, you know, that's a Kal V'Chomer because you want there to be a severe, more severe penalty. It's a Kula in terms of your ultimate Kapara. If that's the case, then the application of Ein Onshin Min HaDin to Nezek implies that there's a din of Kapara. Right? Even in this Niske Mamon, that's even further than the Rambam went in Hilchos Teshuva. However, there's another perspective on Ein Onshin Min HaDin, and that has to do with the reliance on logic. Here, one might say that the more we're dealing with what I'll call an inner logic, right, the more Ein Onshin Min HaDin. Now, you could say, well, man's logic is always possibly flawed, and therefore he can't rely on it. End of story. Then, you know, Ein Onshin Min HaDin is also Melitza. It applies to Onshin, applies to other dinim as well. You can never extrapolate. But what I'm suggesting is another chiluk, and that is things that are like Svara B'Alma, elemental things, universal things, quid pro quo kind of things alone. Onshin Min HaDin. It's where you have what I call the inner logic of halacha. That's where you need, it's connected to other parts of the system, right? It looks like B'nai Noach, Iser Nezek, or Dinin. But the details prove, and the connection to other things prove, that it's much more subtle than that. The Peturim prove it, the details prove it. Ah, then you say Ein Onshin Min HaDin. So now the question is, are all Mazik's elemental human Svara? Or are some of them also but you know expanded by the Haftalu'acha Kamocha or Lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav, you know, etc.? If it expands the Tochen and it redefines them, then Ein Onshin Min HaDin. Not because of the Yisr, even because of the Din itself. Risha Achas HaTamachaybo, yeah, Tamachaybo, Mishum Shtei Rishios. That also is an interesting question because, again, if you take it at face value, so Mazik is a Rishos. Do you want to limit it only to Eish, maybe? But the question is, this goes to the famous question of Esan Ba Al Imo, Esan Zon Osra Torah Filo Ba Al Imo, where the Chachmei Provence, at least, the Raivin and Meiri and others interpreted that what it means is that Hiskaibus Midas right, does not constitute Risha. So then it becomes interesting. Only Hischaivus Midas or any elemental quid pro quo logic? In other words, the contrast is on the one hand Hischaivus Midas, on the other hand Risha, Maisavera, subject to Onshin. Right? What about quid pro quo Chiyuvim? Where do they stand? So that would be an interesting question. Are you going to limit to Eish? Are you going to say all Nezek is a Risha? Or just isn't the Schaivas Midas? That's enough. So connected with that also are two other issues to look at, again, very quickly. One is, in the beginning of Sanhedrin, you have, of course, distinctions between Hodos Valvos and Xelos Vakabalos. And if you look at the Rishonim there, the Chiddush Aran and the Ramah and others, what's included in Hodos Valvos as opposed to Xelos Vakabalos? So again, certainly Schaivas Midas, and contrasted certainly to classic Gazela and Kabbalah. But what about Nezek? And what about different types of Nezek? Right, where does that fit? That seems to be a debate among Rishonim. Similarly, what constitutes Milva Haksuva Batora? So the Bali Tosis in Kiddushin Daf Yud Gimel, and again in Ksuvas Daf Nun Vav, say that, you know, milva is not milva ksuva Torah, because it's just logical. You borrowed money, you should pay it back. And they contrast it with, among other things, nezek, which they present as a chiyuva Torah, as a chiddush. So again, all of nezek or nizke mamon? Are the mamazek too? Hard to know. Tosarash in Kiddushin, Afid Gimel, omits that. Tosis in Ksuvis discusses, according to the Mandamar, Masa Masha Kosa Batara Batai Dovrishim Mamon, Eino Kayam, so can you be really Mochel Nezek? Right? You say, Amanas Kareas Ksusi Amanasli Pater. He says, no, maybe there's a difference between, you know, saying Amanasli Pater or saying Amanasli Pater Sheinze Iser Nezek or something like that. You have to look at the Lishonos, so the Rishonim in different places. So once again, question of Hodos Vavos, the question of Esnan Zona, the question of Milvak Subatora, is the line anything but, there's two questions here, is the line anything but Ischaivus Midas? Or is the issue the nature of Nezek and the possible distinctions within Nezek in terms of how we would perceive it? Another issue is the issue of Kata. Right, so again, this is particularly relevant for the Rambam, but the Mishnah says in Chovel that Cher Shotav Katan Pekiyasun Ra, because, you know, if you damage them, you pay. If they damage you, they get off scot-free. Then the next line in the Mishnah is that, you know, Isha V'Yaved Pekiyasun Ra, for the same reason. But then the Mishnah adds, but when they get free, they have to pay. So what about Katan and Cheresh getting free, having to pay? It sounds like the Mishnah distinguishes. If you look at the Rambam, in Perek Dalet, the Cheschovel, Halacha Chaf, and Chaf Aleph, the Rambam distinguishes. The Rambam says, Cheresh and Katan don't pay Chavala even when they grow older. Masha'en Kein Eved V'Isha, because one is he's really Mufgan, he's Pator, and the other one is he can't collect from him. It's more of a technicality. Makes a lot of sense. However, there's Rashi in Bava Kama, Daf Tzadi Chesed Beis. Rashi's trying to explain the case of Sorev Shtarosa Shel Chavero there. So the Gemara has a case that Ravashi, you know, was Sorev Shtarosa Shel Chavero, and Raphram made him pay. So Rashi adds, you know, Bialduso. I guess he was bothered, like, you know, when Ravashi was going around burning people's Shtaros, like it was a childhood prank. Or he was mischievous, you know, he grew out of it. I assume that's the motivation. So he's chayiv l'kashay is gadel apparently. So the Orzarua in the Chovel picks up on the Rashi, says, "Ah, you see from here that Chovel, even in the case of Katan and Cheresh and Shota, is chayiv l'kashay gadel, right? Because Rashi says that that's true about Mazik. There, it's actually Garmi. And then he says, and not only that, but the sugya in Lamed Tesamid Aleph seems to say that about Niske Mamon in general, that you're chayv l'kashiyat. But the Rambam certainly doesn't hold that way. It doesn't mean it's hard to know what the Rambam holds about Mazik, but is it so clear that Rashi has to interpret against the Rambam and Chovel? So once again, it depends very much on, you know, is there an Iser? The more you think that the Iser plays a role in the Tashlumin, the more you're going to think that if he's Potter b'shas Maisa, Katsana Maisa Vera, then he's just Potter. Whereas if it's a monetary chiyuv, and it's just a question of collecting from him, from his bank account, you know, you can always adjust that later on. So does it make sense to be mechalek between Chovel and Mazik, let's say, for the Rambam, or for Rashi? Sure. And what about Niske Mamon and Mazik? Maybe the other direction. Hard to know. So these will be some of the other nafkamina. I'm sure I skipped some. I have to look at the whole list. But I am going to finish them. I'm within my 2 hours and 20 minutes. Okay. But I am serious about it. So we'll leave it at that. There's much more to talk about. Not much more, but there's more things to talk about even in this part of it. But suffice it to say that it should give us at least a general picture, the relationship between Mazik, Gezela, Chabalah, and other Isurim, and the role that the Isur does or does not play in the nature of the Chiyuv Tashlumin, as well as the question of the relationship between Adam HaMazik and Niske Mamon, and the possibility of being mechalik within Niske Mamon, or Garmi, or as a Kshen Nikar, you know, drawing the line in different places for different halachos. There's a Rajva talks about whether Safek Nezek is Safek Iser or Safek Mamon. I had that on the Marma Kavos as well. Rajva says it's Safek Iser, but again, it's tricky. The big issue in the Rambam in his Psakim and Bayit Lo Ichitas in Nezek, I think that's much more complicated. It depends what the Safek is. It depends which case it is. Again, because one of the things that we've demonstrated, I think, is that both in Chovel and in Mazik and in Niske Mamon, even if there is an Iser, right, the proportion between the Tzad Iser and the Tzad Mamon differs in different cases or different issues. And that might determine a much more complex policy about what Safek Nezek or Safek Niske Mamon is really going to be. But at least these are, together with some other issues, some of the issues that we should be thinking about. I wish you all a Gemar Chasima Tova and a Shnas Chaim Shalom. So we'll pick up, hopefully, with Rosh Hashanah a week, not the Thursday we come back, if that's a Yasson, but we'll the week after that, and then a really week after that, and maybe I'll do after that, or if somebody's ready to go, we'll be okay. It was a little more than two, but it's definitely my shortest one ever, right?
Right.
No.
Yeah. No.